Blog Talk Radio.
I was trying to mind my business, trying to be, you know, have me some quiet time myself, get a chance to catch up on some audio books and some books I need to read, try to have my, you know, and give y'all a few time to catch up in the archives from old shows and stuff like that. So I wasn't going to be on for a while. But then all this shit hit the thing. And I'm like, dang it. I got to say something. Y'all hear me up here? What you think? So I got to tell y'all what I think. And listen, oh, my God, it's going to be an unpopular opinion. I had one person say to me, do you feel bad for saying you thought Cassie was Ghislaine Maxwell? No, I do not feel bad for saying what I see. And I'm going to tell you, explain to you why, okay? I know it's controversial. What you see, Cassie Ventura, why all victims are not heroes. Unpopular opinion, okay, but this is just my thoughts on the situation. Everybody has a right to their opinion. Okay, you might not like mine. That's okay. It's a free country. All right? So I am going to talk about that a little later on, and partly because, listen, I have been in my family, I grew up in my family with relatives and people around me who I have seen in abusive situations, abused women. And I am constantly, I do not go for the way society goes. Society has this thing where they want to, because it's just like, for instance, let me just say this. I'm just going to touch a little bit on this at the beginning, and then I'll get back into it later on. But because we live into a society where at one time big women would be asked all kind of craziness and things that had nothing to do with crimes they were accusing people. You know, like, say, for instance, if a woman is raped, people would start asking about her sexual background, all kind of stuff, things to make the women feel bad and stuff like that. Even though we're in a country where people, when you are an accuser, this is our justice system. When you're an accuser, the accused has the burden of proof. And for back in the years ago, for women, this could be terrible. I mean, you know, women could be judged on their sexual backgrounds or their sexual histories and all kinds of stuff. They wouldn't do the same with a man, or they wouldn't make the same situations. You know, it could be very unfair. Didn't mean the questions that they were asking some women weren't unfair. It just was not a balanced situation. Sometimes they wouldn't check the man's background who was accused. I mean, it would be crazy, okay? And so what's happened in society, because those times happened, now we're at a function where you're trying to correct the system to make it more balanced and fair towards women. You have a situation now where people start saying, well, just believe all women. Don't just, you know, don't call. You just got to believe them no matter what. I mean, we swing all the way over in pendulums, and we don't know how to come to middle ground, okay? And it's very hard, okay? So I'm just saying, and this is what's happened in the area of abuse. There are definitely women who are abused are definitely victims, okay? However, there are some abuse cases where women have stayed in situations and they have participated with them, even though they've been being abused. They participated with their men in crime and all kinds of things, okay? And sometimes they don't call the police because they're scared, but sometimes they don't call the police because simply they like the perks of being with the dude, okay? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to be honest, and y'all ain't going to like it, and that's okay. Okay, y'all ain't gonna like it, but I'm gonna tell you what's real. I'm gonna tell you some ish that I used to see growing up. Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And listen, I am for women being Diddy in 2016. Had Cassie went to the police, she might have very well. And all you guys can guess and say, well, she didn't have no power. He bought the tape from the hotel. He this and that. But has she gone to the police? Has she waved a white flag out here? Has she did something? He might have got arrested back in 2016, and the statute of limitations may not have been out of this, okay? So I'm going to talk about her responsibility in all of this shit, okay? Because, yes, she do got some responsibility, okay? And I say this all the time with women, because a lot of times when we absolve women of responsibility, what we'll have is our daughters and our people get out here and they won't pay attention in dating. They won't pay attention to red flags. They think that, oh, well, no matter what, you know, don't you know, I see the red flags, but I'm going into them because I'm not going to be the victim. I'm not going to be the, person anyway. I'm not going to have responsibility for the men I meet, for the choices I make. Okay, so we're going to talk about that a little later on in the show, okay? All right, so how was my week, y'all? Child, doctors. Oh, my God, I've been sharing with y'all my journey with, you know, breast cancer. And this week I had my mammogram done on, you know, my breast, and cancer-free, y'all. Hey, yay. So, you know, everything looks really good. I'm excited. I get my other mammogram coming up in several months from now for both. But everything is so good. Thank y'all for y'all prayers, y'all being just thinking about me. Anybody who just sent love, whatever, I appreciate. Trust me, sometimes when I be going through, because see, I come on here and I be laughing and joking and I'm something else and stuff. But sometimes in my spirit, man, I be going through, you know, I can feel when people, you know, people are sending love and prayers. Trust me, people can feel the good vibration sometimes over the negative, okay? So I appreciate y'all so much. And those of y'all who reached out to me and check on me and stuff like that, thank y'all. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all so much for doing that, okay? All right. Ciao. So what else I do this week? Yeah, okay, there's so much going on. So Cincinnati Fest is coming up, Miss Biden. Essence Fest, let's talk about Essence Fest right quick. Let's talk about Essence real quick, okay? I'm not quite sure what went on. Why did they decide to start announcing all of the acts a month or two, what is it, a month and a half before the show? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Black people, a lot of black people with Essence Fest are going off of Essence for the last, you know, a lot of people are buying tickets because I used to do this. I've been going to Essence Fest for a year straight, okay, just a long time. And I wouldn't even sometimes even hear the act. I'd buy my tickets in December, January, whatever, you know, because I knew it was going to be good, right? But back then they did announce the act early. So I think the new owners of Essence don't know what they're doing sometimes with these concerts, and they riding off the idea that a lot of black people have been very loyal to the Essence brand and have bought tickets ahead of time, you know, just on the hope that it's good. So somebody came up with the idea of to withhold the axe, which I thought was terrible. I mean, I don't know if they came with the idea or y'all didn't have y'all money straight or contract straight. I don't know what. But let me tell you something. Black folks, I know it's corn out here and what's this? Ashtray and Sizzle and all these things that can help black folks go to shows and stuff like that, pay a little bit here and there. Shit. We get it. But do you understand the state of black economics and why it's just hard to leave black people out here a month and a half beforehand? And if y'all had a sorority show, let me tell you something. Black folks would never, they would turn, you would have got money that this year, but you probably wouldn't get it in the next five. Okay, so I'm trying to let y'all know how black America rocks, okay? And black America, they be buying them tickets on the strength of what Essence has been in the past. Now, last year, y'all had a little bit of a mess. It was okay. The act was okay. Year before last, it was great. Oh, because I was there. It was great. But y'all bringing back Janet again, which I love me some Janet. Janet's my favorite. I saw Janet the last time. She was there year before last. But, you know, Frankie Beverly, it is the 30th year anniversary. What's the SWV Tank, Genuine, and them? Charlie Wilson, yes. I mean, the lineup sounds good so far. But let me just let you know, Essence, you have a lot of competition nowadays. Look at me, I'm going since Manchester. All right? And who knows? Unless something happens, I don't know. You know, you never knew until the last minute about Essence. If I say I ain't going, then I'll be at the Essence there. But I'll just say that you have more competition, and you can't ride off of only for so long off of the brand, okay, before people realize that y'all don't know what the hell y'all doing, okay? So I would get tight quick, get together quick, and especially because it's the 30th anniversary. I've been there at every major of our anniversary. Essence is usually popping on anniversaries, okay? I mean, the 10th, 15th, and the 25th. They say Essence be popping on the anniversaries, okay? It be all kind of stuff going on, right? But I'm just saying, do better, okay? Understand who your audience is, okay? And how they struggle to get their money together for these concerts and shit. It's a struggle. You got to plan Essence out in a year. Essence is expensive as hell. You got to check them hotels and all that stuff is high. So you got to plan that shit out at least 6 months. So people ain't got time with y'all playing It used to be that you would know some of the major acts by February. But they didn't tell anything until a month and a half before. And I should take that. This just says a disregard for your customer base. This is disregard. And a disregard for a magazine who claims to care about the impact of black economics, black women, and how we do our money and things like that, how we spend our money. That's what Essence has been over the years. I don't think the new people understand the branding of Essence. I think they're riding off the old energy of Essence. But if you're in that empowerment space, then you should know how black people are at economically, no matter what we show y'all, if we buy these tickets and stuff like that. You are supposed to be promoting. Yes, you want black people to be economically sound, and you want them to come to your concerts and support your magazine. But you should be doing things that help the customer base, particularly black women. Black women are the most hurt. And I'm going to talk about Mary J. Blige and these boots in a pretty soon, too. But black women are the most economically sometimes disenfranchised. I think at one point I read in 2022 or 2023, like 70% of black women were living below the poverty line. So you're a magazine that claims you're for the empowerment of black women, Renati Global, around the world, but particularly the host of the magazine, even though Africans own it, but the host of the magazine has always been black American women, and you still ride off of that, okay? So you claim to be an advocate for that. well, have some grace. Say, hey, you know, black people, you know we need to have these shows together and tight so they have a chance to save for them. Black people are not just a money grab because y'all got all this shit out here now y'all can get money from. Especially those groups that claim to be empowering and magazines and all that stuff that claim to be empowering, okay? That's all I'm just saying. Have some care for your customer base. That's all, okay? And I'm going to talk about Mary J. I put Mary J. and her boots down because I need to talk about some boots, okay? Let's see. Make sure I put it down on my notes, y'all, because I got notes today. All right, so, yeah. So, yeah, just have some care for you, especially when you're calling yourself a magazine that advocates, though that's been the history of Essence, okay? So that's just my opinion, all right? All right, okay. Okay, I'm talking to you about Cincinnati Fest, child. You know, okay, so, like, child, this Cincinnati Fest, like, I had to get, you know, I'm a Virgo moon, so I be having to get my outfits ready early. Y'all, I'm a Virgo moon. I be trying to organize shit. And so I was like, what do I wear? So me and my girlfriend, who is a fashionista of all fashionistas, okay? Shout out to Felicia. Felicia is, we've been friends since we were young girls. And when she used to live down the street with me, from me, her mom, her grandmother, and her dad. And we, for years, it's so funny, for years, like, you know, I would see her down the street, but I went to another school, and she went to another grade school. So I would pay attention, but I wouldn't pay no that much attention. I'd be going about my business. She'd go about her business. But one time, I don't know how we became friends, but we had to be about maybe 9 or 10 or something, maybe about 10 years old or something, maybe 10 or 11. But all these years, we lived down the street from each other. We just didn't, you know, it wasn't paying attention. So we might have been 10, 11, maybe 10 or 11. It's probably I was going in my 5th or 6th grade, maybe 4th, maybe 5th. I can't remember shit. But anyway, okay, so we might be maybe about that. And I'm telling you, we became two Scorpios. We became like that. We were best, like sisters from our, when we finally went to junior high together on up. Even when I went to a 7th grade, we always were really, really close, right? So, and she's a Scorpio, so we all, you know, people always used to say, y'all know where each other's bodies are. I mean, yes. So she's like, to me, my soulmate, right? And my grandmother used to say when I was a kid, because she's so completely opposite of me, my grandmother would say, that's Kiki's other personality. That's her. She does, that's why she loves her so much. She says stuff that she can't say. So, yeah. A little bit, Carlotta probably is a little bit burnt with like how she maybe be comfortable with myself growing up, right? So yeah, so we still talk, we still have girls talk about fashion and fun stuff and all kind of stuff, right? So I sent, she's a fashionista, she loves fashion, okay? So and she helped design my prom dress, all kind of stuff. I think I told y'all about her before, okay? Okay, so we're talking about this, and so I sent her this idea that I had because I want to be festival. Like, I have to get to an outdoor festival in a minute, and it's going to be hot. But I saw this beautiful outfit. It is summer velvet. No, I've never, you know, I didn't know there was a such thing, you know. Yeah, I did, but I did. I used to see women wear, like, in sundresses and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's, yeah. You know, that's cute or something, but this is hot. But I think it's beautiful. Oh, God, it's so beautiful. It is gorgeous. She was like, yes, do it. Do it. It is so beautiful. I can't even say it. It's gorgeous. Like, it's festival-like. It's so festival-like. So I'm thinking that's going to be my little festival outfit. And then the other night, New Edition night, is like a white night. They're having, like, white nights. I hate when they make me, when people tell me what to wear. So now I got to find an outfit white. So I have. I found a white night. But I hate that. Like, when you have a white night. So, but Maxwell and Neo and I think it's October London night or Fantasia or whatever, they have anything go. You know, you can wear anything. Saturday night, it's like they do this white. They do this tradition of white or something like that. Okay. So it's like Yeah, so that's what I've been doing, too. Me and I have been discussing, I was like, what should I wear? What should I look like? How should I do? What should I do here? But I found this beautiful outfit. So cute. It is summer velvet. It is gorgeous. Oh, I wish I could show all of you. So I'm trying to decide on it now. I'm really trying to decide on it. But yeah, that's my some of our week, okay, this week. Yeah, so looking for the outfit, right? Because it's a festival. I want to be festival-like. You know, and I love seeing all these young girls. I feel like, here's what I think. There's two generations I think I miss. I think I'm born in a weird, I mean, God makes no mistakes, but sometimes I think, you know, I should have been like at coming of age in the 70s, even though I was born in the 70s, or coming of age, because I love the 70s, like 80s stuff. Like, I was a kid, but I wish I, you know, like, you was an adult in those eras. And I also like this generation era. I love, like, the way they do festivals and they dress up and they're not, they be in the wild and stuff. Like, have you ever looked at some of the festivals, like, from some of the kids and when they go, how they go to festivals? Oh, my God, they are so cute. I just feel like, I feel like, y'all like my dream group. I mean, they do all kinds of fun things. They like fun things and bold things. I like it. And sexy things. I'm a sexy girl. I like sexy stuff. Even at my age, okay? I like dressing up for fest. It's fun, like a project for me. It is. It's like a little project. Now, one of my friends said to me the other day said, okay, like, what Maxwell going to do different? You get ready to see Maxwell do the what? I said, this is the beginning of the serenade tour. Oh, God. Okay, he ain't got no new album out. I was like, hey, we suck. I've already said this. I'm not going to go back and forth. I already understand that I'm a sucker. Don't make me feel bad for being a sucker. I had three shows on deck. And I was thinking of me like, damn, I am a sucker. Why did I do three shows? Anyway, but yeah, I think Cincinnati Festo, it's so great because it's New Edition here. I'm so excited about seeing New Edition because everybody has told me New Edition's new show is so awesome. So I cannot wait. Yeah, you know, I love me some New Edition, okay? So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. The other people, everybody else, I'm not that excited about InVogue. I like InVogue, but it's not the original InVogue. I've seen the original InVogue a couple of times back in the day. But it's not the original. I don't know if I can get really excited. I'm excited to see them, but then I'm not. I thought it was going to be SWV, but they had to change at the last minute. Child. So, you know, InVogue, I'm excited about it, but I'm not, okay? And then there's, I forget who's Kim, so I've seen Kim a lot. Who else is it? Stokely that night? Oh, no, Stokely, I forget what night Stokely was. I think he's on Saturday night. Is he on that night, Stokely? I forget. Shit. But, yeah, but New Edition, I'm all hyped for New Edition. I can't remember who all is on the night of New Edition. But Maxwell's life is really good. But I don't really remember. I have to look it up for y'all. See if they have it where I can see it. And they also have like a hip-hop night or something like that. Thursday, I think I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be feisty. I don't think I'm going to hip-hop night. But, I mean, I might. You never know. You know how you see. It just depends. But I think it's, what is it? No, it's Kim Coco Jones. Coco Jones. Now, I'm excited about seeing her. And it's Stokely. Okay. So, yeah, that's good. And I think Maxwell and I is New York and Tasia October London and the original Lakeside. Like, are y'all talking about when y'all say the original Lakeside? Because the original Lakeside is throwing me off. So, we talking about it's all the way live. It's all the way live. So, we talking about. I think that's what y'all talking about. I'm thinking that's the only late singer I know of. Why they say the original? You know when they split off when they're older groups and they have those splits and I'll talk about that in a minute, but when they have those split off, like one, they get mad at each other, and one group travels under one name, and the other group travels under another name, and then one has to say they the original. That cracks me up. So I'm assuming this is a Fantastic Voyage, All the Way Live. So when they have the, you know, All the Way Live guys, I'm thinking, I'm hoping that's what these guys pick up. Turn the music up. Yeah, that's what, is that who I'm looking at to see? Okay, that's an interesting mix. Okay, I see everybody on that show except for October. I've seen everybody. I think I've seen even Lakeside years ago, like back in the day. Have I seen Lakeside? I think I have. I gotta look that. I think I did back in the day, like years ago. I think I've seen everybody except for, yeah, even Neo, Fantasia, yeah, everybody. October London, I'm very excited to see, okay? Love me my soul in London. Okay, first, listen, at first I'm not with the calling yourself the rebirth of Marvin Gaye because, you know, I always say spiritually, sometimes you don't want to leak yourself to certain things. But the more I listen to him, his sound sounds like Marvin, but he doesn't sound like Marvin. The more I listen to him, you put on Marvin right after him, you see, hear little things that's coming, but I like him. Okay, so yeah, so that's my little spiel for this week, y'all. Okay, so what's next? What we got to talk about? All right, so when we come, I was gonna tell y'all. Oh yes, Essence announced Victoria Monet. Check. I was hurt. That's why I said I can't say I'm not gonna go. Hey, cause I love me some Victoria. Victoria is like Janet to me now. You know, there's, I have women crushes, and the women crush I have is I have a Victoria Monet crush. I am so, like, I have a crush on Victoria Monet. I think she is so dope. I feel like her, about her, like I do Janet and then Rihanna for a distant third. But I love me some Victoria Monet, so I'm like, damn it. Oh my God, I'm becoming a big, and when she was here, I didn't go, you know, I didn't like the venue, but oh my God, I may have to travel to see her, okay, and I had tickets to see her, like when her was having her festival in New York, and I was going for the her festival, but they canceled it, right after COVID, or right during COVID, or before, like towards the end of COVID, and she was on that show. It was like 2 days or something. Oh, man. I was hurt about that, too. You know. So I'll eventually see Victoria Monet. Yeah, but that got to me, okay? All right, so, yeah, later on into the show, I'm going to be talking about abuse. If any of you are triggered by abuse topics, abuse situations and stuff like that, you know, I would say to y'all, I'm a straight-up person. I don't want to trigger you. I apologize ahead of time if I do. You know, you got to always turn it off, whatever. But I am going to have this talk about Diddy and Cassie. And I ask y'all, as y'all listen at me, open your mind up. You know what I'm saying? It's probably going to trigger people because y'all not going to like what I got to say. But it is what it is. We'll talk about that. And more when I get back. But when I get back, we got to get into this news, Trump versus Biden, and Scout talking about Bronny James and Chad. Let me just say, sometimes our nepotism ain't good. Okay? And then we're going to talk about Jasmine Crockett and the situation with her and the other lady, you know, and Under Armour got a big problem. They saying Under Armour is just tanking all over the place, okay, allegedly. That's why I said Steph Curry. Steph Curry should have me on his team. If Steph Curry had me on his team, he would have left Under Armour 4 years ago and been over back at Nike, so planted, probably past Michael Jordan right now. That's how good I. That's how good I can sing. Okay. Seriously, some of these people need to hire me. Like Beyonce, Beyonce need me because I tell her ass the truth. Okay, I'd be like, girl, you selling up? You out here singing? What you gonna be selling next? Cereal? It's gonna be like Master P over here selling cereal, chips, cookies, pancakes. I'm gonna help Beyonce. Okay. I be even trying to help my fave, too. He don't be doing either. Okay? I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help, but y'all don't believe me. I'm trying to tell y'all. My abilities are great. All right, so when we get back, we're going to talk about all this and a whole lot more. Meanwhile, when I get to y'all, this is a mess. Y'all know how I be doing up in here, okay? Sometimes I have stuff together. Sometimes I don't. But we're going to start off with D-Nice, No Plans. It's the CC show. I'll be back in a moment. Oh, my God, D-Nice at the Essence Fair. They just announced at this fair. Y'all pissing me off, okay, Essence? All right, I'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to CQ. D-Nice, Neo, Ken Jones. Here we go. Celebrating love and life. Come on.
Just a dark sun in her eyes. I've heard story after story, no surprise.
Here we go.
Till one die face to face. Strange looking for love, not the case. Said I know better than to fall into the category of your beck and call. Try to warn me
Hey, one of my favorite groups of all time. Listen, bands of all time. Jamiroquai. Listen, that is my dream concert. I've not been to a Jamiroquai concert yet. Oh, my God. I need a Jamiroquai concert. I will travel to go see Jamiroquai. I don't know why I haven't done it yet. I'm going to make a plan because a lot of people have told me you need to see Jamiroquai. You need to probably go to festivals out the country because they sometimes are at. I don't know why nobody in the States have brought Jamiroquai. Like, shit. That's one of my favorite bands. I love me some Jamiroquai, okay? Oh, my goodness. I listen to Jamiroquai like a normal, like, day. When I just have, like, I'm just needing to feel good, I put on some Jamiroquai. I'm serious. Oh, my God. And then, you know, like, okay, so I have to say that I do have a crush on Jay. Okay, I like those type of guys. He's so unconventional. I have a crush on Jay King, okay? It's like one of my crushes, celebrity crushes, is Jay King. Oh, my God. And, then, you know, one of my favorite videos is the one with Heidi Klum, Philosophy. I'm like, oh, my God. And then, All Right. They make some great videos, okay, to get. Celebrity Jay King. I like, everybody's like, Jay King. I know. Oddballs, I like him. I don't even know. I wonder what his astrology is. Why? I don't like Jay King. Let's see. Do they have his astrology up before I get into this news, y'all? Because let's see. Do they have it? You know, because. Let's see how. J.K. Why am I saying J.K.? I don't know what I'm saying J.K. I just had King in my head because I had this post up and it had King on it. J.K. Okay? But I do have, like, yes. Okay? I don't know what his astrology is. Why? There's a reason. Let me see. Put that. Let's see. What is his astrology? Then I would probably know. Okay? Yeah, Capricorn. Scorpio's like cat. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think No, he's not a cat. Wait a minute, huh? That's not right. Okay, let's see if you can see, find it. We're going to find a... No, this show we have astrology all over the place. He's cat. Okay. Sun and Capricorn, Moon and Virgo. Okay. See. Yeah, okay. North Node and Pisces. Yeah. All right. Yes. Totally get it. Okay. Yeah. Love you from JK. All right. So back in these streets, let's get into the news. Okay. Y'all is out here trying to help. Here's the thing. Okay. I think y'all know this is. I think people know that Trump is probably getting ready to win. I know if he gets off this case, and which I think he pretty much is. Unless something really crazy happens, you know. Yeah. So, but, you know, they're saying Trump puts JFK Jr., Trump demands Biden drug test, rips radical RFK Jr. in bid to a rebellious bunch at NRA. Okay? Here's what Trump said. Former President Trump fired up supporters at the National Raffles Association annual meeting in Texas on Saturday, calling for President Biden to take a drug test, putting radical Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on blast and encouraging gun enthusiasts to get out and vote. The crowd at Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in Dallas roared as Trump received the NRA's endorsement before he took the stage. Trump thanked great patriots for the endorsement, but reprimanded the rebellious bunch for not voting. Okay. But one thing I'll say, and I say it, friends, we've got to get gun owners to vote, because you know what? I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's a form of rebellion because you're a rebellious people, aren't you, Trump said. But gun owners don't vote. What is that all about? If gun owners would vote, we would swamp them at levels that nobody's ever seen before, he said. So I think you're a rebellious bunch. So let's be rebellious and vote this time, okay? Trump turned his attention to independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., telling NRA supporters not to waste your vote and that he is part of the radical left. Now, it's interesting because Robert F. Kennedy can still vote, they think, from both sides, from Biden and Trump, because right, he sits in that really like, I forget that young lady's name, starts with a G. Gabby, or some one of the former congressmen. She's like that far left that's like a Green Party left. He's kind of far. He's not the Green Party, but he's that far left that where it kind of meets almost libertarian standards, you know. And when you think of like libertarians and people like that, you think of Ron Paul, because Ron Paul, the far right, like Ron Paul used to be, is almost so close. Who I say Trump is, Trump's baby is Ron. I mean, Ron Paul's baby is Donald Trump. No, you don't get Ron Paul. You don't get Donald Trump without Ron Paul. The difference between to me with Ron Paul is that Ron Paul didn't appease in my personal, even though he had that both sides. First of all, let me just say this: Democrats and Republicans both appeal to racists in America, okay? There are racist Democrats. There are racist Republicans. Republicans are a little bit more forward than Democrats, okay? Democrats do shit in sneak ways to show they racist, right? But Ron spoke to that straight-up element, but he didn't appease them. Well, Trump appeases them, in my opinion, sometimes. So where Ron Paul would have that radicalness that would grab young people and a lot of Ron Paul's thoughts you hear come through Donald Trump, but just in a more different way, right? So you get the Ron Paul element of the party that may be a little bit attracted to RFK Jr., right? So like the far left and the far right can be almost meet in the middle, right? So it's a very interesting thing there, okay? But he said RFK Jr., I call him Jr., by the way, he's a radical left. Don't think about it. Don't waste your vote, Trump said. That's why Trump is trying to tell him that. We need a conservative person with common sense. This guy is a radical left who destroyed New York. Actually, he's a disaster. He reminds you of this fly that's driving me crazy up here. Said Trump, who swatted a fly that fitted around. The fly is brutal. I don't like flies. He's such a Gemini. Anyway, but RFK Jr. calls you a terrorist group. You know he calls you a terrorist group. Trump said you can't vote for him. You can't. You know somebody said, well, like his policies on vaccines the other day. He said, no, he'll go for the vaccine. He's nice. He got no policy or anything. He's radical left. He's always been. We can't wait votes, he added. We have to make sure we win. The Republican Party's presumptive presidential nominee said his fights on President Biden, beginning with the usual jazz at Biden's cognitive ability and saying that Biden was as high as a kite during his state of the union. Listen, when they have this debate they're supposed to have, Cheryl, listen, I know we as Americans can't take life serious. We don't take nothing serious. But most of us probably are going to be laughing at the comedy because we know it's going to be comedy, okay? But he said now he did that State of the Union that he was high as Trump did. So I think we should go for drug tests on the debate. Yes, we're going to call for drug tests. Earlier, Trump's campaign and a Republican National Committee announced the creation of new gun owners for Trump, okay? All right, so let me say this. Okay, let me look at What is the debate? Yes. Yeah, so that's why I lean for the on social thing, not social thing. How can I say conservative on something, more conservative on something, but I also lean very liberal on some things too. So I really don't have a party. I consider myself an independent, even though I was a registered Democrat. But I've never hardly voted Democrat in my life. I voted here and there Democrat, only locally sometimes. And maybe sometimes I'm like Libertarian people more, Green Party people. You know, I've had various people I've liked throughout the years. But I don't believe they're adhering to a certain party. I heard it say a long time ago that when you tell people what party you're in, like when you say I'm Republican or I'm Democrat, you're only telling people where you stop in your thought process. So I feel like that, even though I can be more conservative on some things, definitely lean conservative, but I can also be very liberal, okay? So, and I also am not, you can't tell me what a lot of Democrats love to do, a lot of Democratic black operatives love to do, because they're more comfortable with Democratic races than they are Republican races. I'm more comfortable with people who just tell me what this is all about, what you about to do. I don't like Democrats being sneaky. I hate sneaky races, okay? I like them when you tell me straight up what you are, okay? And sneaky races are the most dangerous. But I see both parties have had as having elements of racism because we live in America. So when somebody says to me, well, the Republicans are racist, I say, well, Democrats are too. I mean, is that what y'all voted on? Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not personal for me. I understand America has a structure of racism. Well, I look at, to me, every day it's a learning process with politics and all the things we have going out here with poverty and stuff like that. What's important for me is that I don't have to like a politician. They don't have to personally like me. The important thing is to me is that we are having policy that affects black Americans, traditional black America, ADOS, FBA, whatever. But American descendants is like, I feel that if there's policy that will advance us or help advance our struggles as being a part and being founding people in the United States, natives of the land. I'm for that, and I don't care whether that comes out of a Democrat or a Republican. And I don't gotta like you. I mean, you ain't got to come to my church and kiss babies and eat cereal and all this. I mean, it's nice. It's good. Thanks for showing up and telling us your policy. But I don't care about being your friend. And I think that's where we mess up with politics. I think that politics has become far too personal. And that black people have made it. The reason it's become personal to us is because we have been victims of we've been beneficiaries of the American system, but we've also been victims, big-time victims, because of our history in America. And so a lot of times we are afraid when we hear certain coding and stuff like that. And it's really loud over there in the Republican Party. It's not as loud in the Democratic Party, but it shows up in policy. It shows up in how we find ourselves back in the same scenarios and back in adhering to symbolism or somebody like, we taking things far too personal, and even having some black politicians up there that don't have anything on our behalf. So for me, politics is not a matter of party. Okay, so you can't get me, don't be telling me one party. You know, there's some things I like about Donald Trump. More than I do Biden. But shout out to Biden and Kamala for my student loans. Hey, man, I like that. I would never mad at that. I've been railing to get student loans on here forever. And that should be a bipartisan thing. Republicans should be ashamed of themselves wanting money to go to being okay with money going to foreign entities and not money going to help citizens. Okay? So if you can't argue with Biden sending billions over there to Westmoreland can't fight that, but you ready to fight student loan forgiveness. I don't like that. So I'll just say that straight up because I think a lot of people need that, right? But and shout out to them for doing that, okay? I think that I've been saying that for years, okay? Years on this show, okay? So, all right. So, yeah, so this is very interesting. I'm not a party person, okay? But I do lean more conservative with certain conservative things. I like people who balance budgets. But I also like some social issues. I like Medicaid. I like Medicare. I like I like welfare to help citizens when they're down and out. I don't see there's anything wrong with the government. I believe in capitalism with other elements of socialism. I believe it's not just one ideology. We might be a capitalist country, but we need to have other elements to check that capitalism. That's just my belief, okay? But, you know, who am I? All right, but that's what, it'll be interesting to hear the debate. But they said Biden and Trump will debate in June and September. But they said the terms have changed, so let's see what this is about here, okay? So we can read this for y'all. This is from NPR. And that last article, I believe, is from NBC. No, it's from Fox News. It was from Fox, that other one. But it says President Biden, this is from NPR, it says President Biden and former President Donald Trump have agreed to appear at presidential debates hosted by television networks, circumventing the schedule and the traditional format proposed by the Commission on Presidential Debates. Biden and Trump will first debate on June 27th. The event hosted by CNN and announced by the network and respective campaigns will not feature an audience and will take place at CNN's Atlanta studios. Now, this is very interesting, not featuring an audience. Why? Really interesting, okay? The second debate hosted by ABC News will be September 10th. A location has not yet been announced. The dates were set Wednesday, hours after Biden's campaign announced he would not participate in the process that the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates had. But the campaign laid out their own terms instead. Trump responded to Biden's call in a post on his True Social platform saying he was ready and willing to debate Biden, and his campaign called for additional debates in July and August as well, okay? On Thursday, the Biden campaign said that it had accepted an invitation for CBS News for a vice presidential debate on either July 23rd or August 13th, dates that fall between the Republican and Democratic conventions. They said the Trump campaign did not immediately respond on whether it accepted the invitation. Both campaigns are shunning the Commission on Presidential Debates. The Republican National Committee had said in April 2022 it would quit the Commission on Presidential Debates because of concerns about the timing of debates and over accusations of bias. Biden campaign chair Jen O'Malley Dillon said the president was willing to take part in two debates hosted by broadcast organizations. But she said the commission, which has hosted debates since 1988, is out of step with changes in the structure of our election and interests of the voters. The commission has announced back in November that there will be three debates in September and October, but O'Malley and Dilley said his schedule begins too late after tens of millions of people have cast their ballots in early voting and says the commission failed to enforce debate rules in 2020. I agree with that. Biden's campaign also objects to the audiences. That's interesting. Richard describes as raucous or disruptive partisans and donors who consume valuable debate time with noisy spectacles of approving our jeering. That's interesting. So he must know that that's very interesting. He's scared of sometimes the audiences. Interesting. Says a lot. All right? So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to those debates, okay? And we'll see what they're like, all right? What's next I want to talk to y'all about? Okay, I'll get this news out the way. All right. Okay, let's talk about LeBron James. And, you know, listen. LeBron James' son is set to go into the NBA draft, or some people are saying. A lot of people are questioning it. Let me read first from MSN.com Sports. Fox via Fox News. It says it was a rough go for Bronny James in his freshman season at USC, and he's not getting much love as he gears up for the NBA draft. The son of the NBA's all-time leading scorer declared the NBA's draft last month despite averaging fewer than 5 points per game with the Trojans. He can still decide to go back to college. Cardiac arrest he suffered last summer played a factor, as he's been a McDonald's All-American last year in his senior year of high school. Despite dropping 13 points in a scrimmage at the NBA scouting combine earlier this week, through one exhibition, it's not convincing. ESPN's Mark Spears read off a list of notes a pair of scouts took of James they sent on him, and not many were great. One scout said to Spears, "If the Lakers don't draft him, I don't see anyone drafting him. Teams will want him on a two-way contract, and I don't think James' agency, Clutch, will want that." Another was harsher. "Positional athlete doesn't function as an elite athlete. Tweener stuck between two positions. Should be a point guard based on his size, but he can't run offense. He's handicapped as an undersized shooting guard because he can't shoot. His comp, a poor man's Davion Mitchell. He is not an NBA prospect, in my opinion." Mitchell, a backup point guard for Davion Mitchell, averaged 15.3 minutes, 5.3 points per game. James played 25 games his freshman year and averaged 2.8 rebounds and 2.1 assists. Bronny measured at a height of 6 feet, 1.5 inches at the NBA scouting combine. He was listed at 6 feet, 4 inches at USC. It's been reported, though, that the Lakers, whom his father could draft Bronny if it would mean keeping LeBron on the team. Okay, let me just say this for a second. You know, we have seen nepotism work in this society of, you know, where America could be really great on one end, but America has issues with race, top of the thing, race, classism, elitism, nepotism. And listen, we've seen, and I know as black people, we've seen that happen at our workplaces where a lot of people, white people, and that's not to make white people feel guilty. If you're listening to me, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just telling you a fact down these streets, okay, have been able to move their families and people up the ladder, and how much wealth helps to, you know, determine that if you own companies and stuff like that, you can give your kids jobs. You know what I'm saying? All kinds of things. But with LeBron's son, Bronny, this is something so much different. And sports is performative. You know, like every job is performative, but sports is a different type of performative where you really have to show results right away. And the game of nepotism, to me, is not healthy, and not a healthy game to play with your son and putting him in the NBA because you just want to play with him and not thinking about how people will judge him, discredit him, and talk about him because you've paved the way for him to be, not paved the way because he's good. The difference was when you paved the way because you said, he's damn good, I make sure my son get in here. No, you paved the way because he's less than average, but you just want to break some record to play with him. Do you even think about what that can do to his self-esteem if he's not good? Oh, well, he can develop an NBA. No. You know, there's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is, "Do not desire to be like your oppressors." Okay? Listen, LeBron, what you see might be, you might have seen work for white folks, does not sometimes work for you. I think Bronny should stay in college and develop. And if he really wants the NBA, hey, you're there. See, to me it sounded like it's about you because you want him to play with you and break some sort of elusive record you got. See, LeBron and James and Beyonce are alike to me. They like records. they don't care how they get them, just so I'm in the history books. so terrible. I think you got that. But you love the child, and I know you do. Unless he's something's going on where, you know, this is he seems like he's better from the cardiac thing. And I'm not trying to be funny, unless it's some make-a-wish thing or something like that. I don't see that it's a good thing you putting him in the NBA before he is developed and before he is a good player. You're going to hurt his career. College, sometimes some kids need to stay at college. LeBron went from high school to the NBA. But some kids need that middle ground of college. And now today in college, you can be an athlete and not be broke. You can make all kind of money from these deals they got. I think LeBron's son has, I forget that deal they got. And he's like making millions already. So that puts him at heavy game, just could probably from being LeBron James' son. And he was a good player. He was decent. You know, he had a cardiac issue and stuff like that. But that's probably why he needs to develop. So my thing is, LeBron, forego your idea of your son playing with you. He might not never get to play with you, but he might end up being a great athlete because he stayed in college and decided to develop himself and make himself a better athlete. That's just my thing. You know, who wants the Lakers to draft me? And people are going to be saying, oh, they already know drafted him because your daddy played one. They want to sign your daddy again. I mean, what low self-esteem is that? And people will always say stuff about it because your daddy. Okay, but when you know you good and you know you've developed and you know you a baller, you can overcome that. Like Steph Curry is a baller, okay? Despite he superseded his father. And his father was an NBA guy, known as one of the greatest shooters in the game. But Steph became the greatest shooter. And you don't think some people say, hey, well, your daddy is. Now, nepotism works a little bit. It may get you in different places, different colleges and stuff like that. You think Steph didn't hear that? Yeah, he heard it, him and his brother. But him and his brother are both ballers, and they have superseded their father in ball. So, listen, that's not a nepotism thing. They just good. And maybe who being having Dale Curry as a father helped them in a lot of ways. Helped them, you know, get, people trainers and all kind of things to help you be really good and stuff like that because your father has finances and stuff. This is what should be happening with Bron. Give him that outside help to make him develop and be disciplined into the player he needs to be. Don't just give him the NBA because you want to play with him. What kind of character shit is that? Are you teaching? Man, he ain't even. But when you work hard at something, that doesn't mean you don't help him as a father. What I'm saying is give him the tools to be better because you do have access to the better tools than a lot of people out here because you got money. You got access to get him a trainer. You got access to get, hey, Ronnie, you might have to work a little bit more during off season and stuff. You might have to train more. And he'll find out if that's his thing or not, if being an athlete is for him or not. But to get a kid in there and you know he ain't good, that's terrible. That's sad. And I hope they don't do that. It's a very sad thing if he does that. Very sad. And it's not cool. And everybody is saying that right now. And people can see he needs more development. Don't bring people out just because they're your kid. One thing I appreciate about Beyonce and Jay-Z, hey, let me just say this, okay? She brought Little Blue out there on that stage, okay? But when Blue was she was getting used to the stage. She wasn't all the way comfortable yet. But when Blue got some criticism, what they do? Stay on this stage. Stay developing. You made a commitment. I'm just thinking this is what they said. You made a commitment to this. You want to work hard at it. I do ain't easy. Okay, I know I don't like Beyonce that much, but I can give her props. I love Beyonce from what I've seen. I don't know her personally, but from looking from the outside in, I love her and Jay's parenting. Okay, from what I've seen them do with Blue Ivy so far, I don't know. I don't know them. I'm just saying looking from the outside in, okay? From what they've shown, to me, they taught her, they are oldest, how to deal with fame. She, when she decides she want to do on set, come on stage and help mama, even though I think that was a little bit to help mama, she really helped mama because people really wanted to see Blue Ivy on stage. And it was one of those, Blue Ivy helped them more with the ticket sale. But I also like that Beyonce and them seem to say, you have to develop. You have to get better. And she got better as the time went along. You can see it. She got much better. Okay? And much more comfortable on the stage. And she fairly dealt with criticism. Because when you're selling tickets at $1,000 and $500 and $600 a pop, shit, little Blue Ivy out there dancing, you might get some criticism at you. Okay? You part of the ticket price. Okay? But I like that they say, hey, we need you to keep developing. And that's what LeBron James should be saying to his son. And his development, LeBron, is not in the NBA, so you can get your little record broken. And you trying to make it seem probably in your head, like, well, see, you get more developed in the NBA because you be around the athletes. Them athletes are professional. They ain't got time to train your son. For fuck, that's crazy. Okay? But there is plenty of camps out here and stuff that he can go to. He got the money to go to and stuff, and y'all can get him developed, and he can be better. I know with a cardiac, and somebody who have a cardiac arrest, you get scared as a parent, you think, time, you know, and everything like that. But maybe he needs development. It's not for you to just rush him through the NBA. That's all I got to say on that note. No, I don't like it. And everybody is in secretly talking of that this kid is not real. Okay? Have some compassion for your child. Even if they think they want to go, compassion and understand what that can look like. All right, let's talk about Angel. Right, girl, Angel. Listen, Angel. Angel is so fabulous. Listen, Angel, all I say is keep your head on straight. Keep disciplining yourself to keep being fabulous. I love that you're fabulous and everything like that. But, listen, this girl's been balling, okay? It says, Sky wins first game of season. Angel Reese sets NBA record. This is from Yard Barker. It says, Angel Reese got her first WNBA win on Saturday, and she set a new league standard in the process. The former LSU Tiger had 11 points and 9 rebounds, including 7 offensive in Chicago, 83-74 win over Dallas. Her across the timeline, her 12 offensive rebounds on the season are the most in a rookie's first 2 games in the WNBA. In fact, only 3 players, regardless of experience, Cheryl Ford, Erica D'Souza, Jonquel Jones, have had more offensive rebounds in the first 2 games of the season since the league began in 1997. One of her biggest rebounds came in fourth with Dallas up 65-64, and attempted 3 by teammate Dana Evans. Reese battled wing center Stephanie Soares in the paint for the ball and off the miss and scored a bucket while getting fouled for one opportunity. Okay, her start has made much more impressive considering it came against arguably the biggest team in the league. Listen, and it's so funny because, you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Caitlin's struggling right now. And Caitlin, it's not just Caitlin that has been responsible for the WNBA. And see, I have my suspicions on that. You know, I always am suspicious, okay? But because I told people, I had been having a conversation with my husband a few years back. I said, this was several years. I said, maybe about 2014, 2013, I said, the WNBA is about to blow up. I said, man, I wish I could find a team I believed in. I knew, you know what I'm saying, and invest a coin because it's going to blow up. Amen. No, not you know what I'm saying? Now he was being dogs. He liked WNBA. He was like, but you can see the momentum happen. Now, what they did if they found a girl, you know, when the momentum's happening with something, when they start talking about equal pay and stuff like that, and you sitting there talking about, you sitting there like, well, damn, we get no equal pay because they don't get as much ratings and stuff. But you knew they was heading, the drumbeat was heading towards getting y'all to watch women's basketball. Okay? So all they needed was a star and a villain. And what they have, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, okay? They are both responsible, in my opinion, for what the changeover you're seeing in the WNBA, okay? And so I'm very happy because Angel is usually made out to be the villain, but I'm so proud of Angel. She just graduated, too. Congratulations to Angel Reese. But I'm so proud of Angel for not only just getting up in the WNBA, but you could see beforehand she was doing training and doing stuff ahead of time before her. A lot of people weren't showing that about her. She was really taking that leap into the WNBA series, okay? And I'm sure it's still going to be a lot she got to learn, but it's a beautiful thing watching her develop and grow. And I like the fact that she likes a little glamour here and there. Just don't get the big head. You know, keep stable in your mind. They can still be glamorous and stuff, but I love how she's moving, okay? So very interesting, okay? Let's see. And you know what I love this? I'm going to tell you what I do love about the WNBA, because this gives women more opportunity, women athletes, more, and coaches, women coaches. I got woman coach in my family, basketball coach. It gives them, and she's fabulous. She took her team to state, everything. I mean, but it gives women more of an opportunity to build financial stability through women's sports, especially basketball. And it gives young girls coming up who've been athletes in these sports and that take so much time in their schooling, like men and everything, takes a lot of time from, you know, their day-to-day and stuff like that. It gives them an opportunity to graduate and hopefully one day go into bigger contracts and bigger things, you know, and be able to financially move like men. You know what I'm saying? It might not be as big yet as the NBA, but it can still give women a financial stability that more better, that wasn't as open for them. In the following years, if it keeps going like this, then the money's going to increase, opportunities going to increase, endorsements are going to increase. It'll get a lot better, okay? So really good with that. All right, so what else is next, y'all? We got to talk about, what else I say? I want to put y'all on. Okay, we got to talk about Jasmine Crockett here for a second. We got time, y'all. Jasmine. Get this here. Okay. I'm not going to be popular with this either, okay? Representative Jasmine Crockett has no regrets about viral bleach blonde butch body jab at MTG. Okay, this is according to Yahoo News, okay? Firebrand Congressman Woman Jasmine Crockett, which to me is just Maxine Waters remix. Democrat Texas continued to take no prisoners on Friday night CNN appearance, doubling down on comments she made during a contentious House Oversight Committee hearing on Thursday. The meeting, which was supposed to be about contempt of Congress proceedings for Attorney General Merrick Garland, went off the rails when Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene suddenly attacked Crockett's appearance during a hostile exchange of barbs on the committee floor, suggesting that Crockett's fake eyelashes are messing up what you're reading. The comments drew immediate outrage from Democratic reps, also reps including committee-ranking member Jasmine Rankin and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who moved to strike Green's comments from the record. That motion ultimately failed, and Green refused to apologize. Crockett took the chance to ask for clarification. To Chairman James Comer, Republican, Kentucky, she said, "I'm just curious. To better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach bond, bad built body, which body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?" Appearing on CNN Friday to discuss the heated exchange, Crockett stood by her words, telling CNN Abby Phillips She had no regrets about what she said. I have no regrets, and I'll tell you why, Crockett said. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the kind of person that you give an inch, she'll take a mile. And the fact is that they continue to allow her to break the rules of decorum, Crockett added. So if I just sit there and say, oh, well, Marjorie said it about me, what's to stop her to continue to do it again and again? At the end of the day, I was elected as a representative of Congress, but that doesn't mean I'm supposed to be somebody who's a doormat. Yet Phyllis continued to press Crockett on the response she made, pointing out it could be interpreted as stooping to Greene's level. Michelle Obama famously said, when they go low, we go high. Are those days basically over? Crockett dropped her sickest burn yet. I don't know what we can even call this a low. I mean, she goes to hell. And then I do my best to remind her why she should not cross me. Okay? Let me just say this, okay? First of all, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a very loud, kind of MAGA type, you know, in Congress. And everybody should have been, including Republicans, should have been horrified by her personally attacking a congresswoman in her appearance in that setting. It is not professional. That was terrible. And Republicans should be even horrified, okay? Now, I'm going to say this, Jasmine. Some white people love to gaslight black people. And in a professional setting, Jasmine, this is what scares me about you, okay? Because you crap off. And I don't mind that, because I'm a black woman. We pop off sometimes, right? But you making it's like a caricature. It reminds me of a caricature of Maxine Waters, because what happens is it gets a lot of black people to be like, oh, you excited. Look at her, honey. Tell them out, honey. But she didn't really play it wise. And I'm going to say that, and that tells me you ain't going to know how to handle her ass in serious things, because you got completely away from what y'all were battling this week. Had you came and said, listen, are we going to attack my appearance when we're talking about serious things that affect the country, serious situations? Listen, man, you got to learn how to turn it back. And the way you did it, kind of trying to get off a smart barb, butch body, yes, it was funny and you got at her, but she's laughing somewhere because she got you to engage with her instead of turning it around and making her look terrible. You know, instead of start being about you saying butch, instead of you saying, is this how we going to handle things now? Are we going to be rude? Are we going to sit and listen to this when we've got serious things in the country? I'm sitting here trying to have a serious conversation, and this woman asked me about my eye, is insulting about my eyelashes and saying, can I read? What does that have anything to do with what we're talking about now? See, you would have spanked her. And her Republican constituents would have had to be like, oh, boy, that is true. Why is she insulting? You know what I'm saying? But you coming back because you're mad with a barb and trying to be Maxine 2.0, because Maxine probably wouldn't have handled it like that. Maxine probably would do what I said, right, and then got it later. But I'm just saying to you, and I'm not big on Democrats, and I'm not big on Jasmine Crockett or anything. I'm just saying to you that could have been handled better, where you could have turned it around on her bum ass, and you could have made her feel, or you could have made her and her party, you could have been out here as one of the major spokespersons of the Democratic Party and saying, I'm about policy. I'm about helping somebody. She's sitting in here attacking me. But instead, you didn't do that. You gave her more ammunition. And they know they can gaslight you. And they're going to figure you out. Okay? So I'm just saying, It wasn't smart. And Carlotta says white women was attacking her. But listen, you got to, there's a time to hit back, and there's a time to just to, you can feel the room where that in that moment, because she had to listen. Jasmine was not attacked. I mean, Jasmine was attacked, not Marjorie attacked Jasmine. And so Jasmine, in that moment, has she not been looking at a way to be cute and colloquial to appeal to her voters and all that stuff, but instead said, oh, I'm going to make this hard for me. I'm going to make this hard for the whole party. I'm going to make it that the Republican Party is not interested in policy and policy making, but they're interested in attacking a woman for her eyelashes. It is getting personal when we're talking business. And had you went around on that thing, they wouldn't have been so talking about your butch stuff, all that stuff. Sometimes Michelle Obama is right. When you go low, when they go low, you got to go high. Okay, and then sometimes now you can go to hell, okay? But that wasn't the time, Jazzy. And that's why I will say this, okay? And this is going to be harsh. Oh, black people going to be mad at me for saying this. I'm a hood girl. I grew up in the hood. When you say she ghetto, I'll be like, yeah, because you know why? Because a lot of people who say ghetto stuff, she ghetto, they mean the bad parts of the ghetto. But I grew up, the ghetto that I grew up in, most of the people were good people. There was a lot of smart women in the ghetto, a lot of smart people, a lot of people doing hard, who worked hard in the ghetto, who had fun moments. So I don't perceive when people say that's ghetto. I used to years ago. But when people say that, I don't perceive it as the bad parts and the stereotypes of the ghetto anymore. I've grown out of that. I perceive it as what I grew up in urban neighborhoods, in the hood, and how I learned to, you know, live and defend myself around some of the most beautiful people in the world, okay? But what I will say is this, Jasmine. What most of society considers stereotype ghetto antics is not going to work in Congress, baby girl. And when you're dealing with gaslighting, racist women, you're going to have to be wiser. You can't be popping off always little jags and little this and that, and that's what you're getting famous for, and they're going to let you pass for that for so long. And maybe the community will let you pass for that for so long. But you need to be something different, too. Yes, represent the hood. I get it. I'm not mad about that. But have some wisdom. Shit. Have some smarts. They're going to be gaslighting your ass, and they're going to be taking you down easily and quickly. Okay? I'm getting on her mostly because she needs it. Because Marjorie was able to gaslight her ass easy and took the whole subject over. Now it's about Butch. It ain't even about this, about Butch blonde body and all this stuff. Even though it could have been bigger on her, you could have turned it all around and said, this woman has attacked my personal appearance. I've never said such a thing to her. What kind of person is this in Congress? And see, what you said, this is what you do, Jasmine. You make it about people wearing MAGA hats. You make it about, well, she shouldn't do this, and MAGA this, nah, nah, nah. That is her. If she wants to wear a MAGA hat, that's what her. That's the wrong thing to attack. It's a lot of Americans who believe in the America make America great thing. And although you associated with racist, not all those people are racist. Just like the Democratic Party has a lot of racists and got them associated with racism. So my thing is just get a. Stop that. So now you, here you are, trying to defend your jab. Because you didn't think why. So my thing is, Alexander Ocasio, they got a lot of these people. Let me just say this. They got a lot of people that they put up in that party who people or voters are going to vote for every day. Okay, that ain't shit. And I think Alexander's one of them. Okay. Let me just say this, though, to you. I think you could be great, but don't let them do to you. Don't become part of that party nonsense. really be about working to help your people and figure out what that looks like. Otherwise, you're going to be looking like you're just a part of the crack. Like you're a part of the blue checks. Okay? So be about that. Be I get it, but I don't get it. Okay? So that's what I feel like I got to say with that one. I know some of y'all is not going to like that, and it's okay. We can think differently out in the streets. Under Armour Child. Child Steph Curry, you should have hired me, baby. Listen, Steph, Under Armour, I knew it. I remember me and one of my listeners here was talking on Twitter, and she said, Under Armour don't deserve Steph. I said, Jesus, you're right. Shakira, yeah, Under Armour don't deserve Steph. They don't. This is an article from CNN Business. It says Under Armour was a real, and that other article was from CNN too. It says Under Armour was a real threat to Nike. Now it's fighting to stay relevant. It was once hyped as a worthy rival to Nike, but at present, Under Armour, founded by a 23-year-old former college athlete, is struggling just to do it. Just to do it. Oh, not the Nike thing. Instead, the brand is championed on the basketball court by Stephen Curry and on the golf court by Jordan Spieth is now struggling badly to find its footing in an increasingly competitive and crowded sportswear marketplace for regular folks, where younger shoppers are more googly-eyed over newer entrants like Hoka, which I love, child. Listen, I work out in Hoka. Oh, my. We love Hoka. It's comfortable. It's a great shoe. I mean, you know, if you're working out and stuff like that, oh, my God. Oh, it's one of the best shoe brands out there, okay, on running shoes. Under Armour's annual sales have been sluggish at best for the past several years. And its designs are great, too. While its stock has plunged 88% from – and I'm a Nike girl. I ain't going to lie to y'all, too. I love me some Nike, okay? I was just at my I love – it's another person. Another person I got a girl crush on is my surgeon, okay, who did my surgery. I have such a girl crush on her. She has such swag, and she's so beautiful. She comes in the room so confident. And so me and her, she wears some great Nikes. And I be wearing great Nikes, and she's like, oh, I like your shoes. I was like, I said, these are the day of the day. She's like, oh, I thought they were. So we're talking about the shoes and everything. She's like, how did – I said, I found these. I went to the store, and I was telling her how I found them. She's like, what? So we like, I'm a Nike girl. So I do, I love me some like Nike shoes, okay? And I had my day of the dead Nikes on the other day when I went to my Nike. She was like, those are hot. And they are cute. Y'all just have to see them. They're too cute. But yeah, and so I'm a Nike girl. I can't lie. I'm a tennis shoe girl, but I love me some. I like all tennis shoes, but I love Nikes, and I like Hoka's, and I like, I like some of these, okay? But, it says Under Armour, and I've had Under Armour because I'm a Steph Curry fan. So I bought Steph Curry's like first birthday Under Armour shoes, and they were really nice, but they went down since then. Okay, it says punch 88% from all its high in 2015. Industry experts said the company is near an unpleasant mix of problems, which include identity crisis, several management controversies, ignoring evolving market trends to its detriment, and a rotating carousel of CEOs in quick succession. Okay. And Steph, didn't you sign a crazy contract? Let me just say this, okay? I knew Under Armour was in trouble when Steph had signed with him that year and he was in the finals, and Kevin Plank made a commercial, and he had himself as the star, the CEO at the time, who was also the founder. Oh, my God. Dumbest thing. I said, why would you not make a commercial with Steph and Curry at the head? And Steph, I understood him going to Under Armour the first few years to teach Nike a lesson. But look, Steph, look across the way. What you should have known about Nike is Nike, when Under Armour starts fucking up and they said allegedly Steph was threatening to leave Under Armour and they gave him some brand like Jordan, which probably ain't doing well if they plunged 88%. But you should have seen there's only an old king at Nike, and they need a new king. They need a prince. King Jordan is over there, but they need a prince. They ain't had an athlete that has all that personality, people like, people really love, that transcends all things. They got LeBron, they got Kevin on them, but they don't do what you do. You should have did. After you taught Nike the lesson, you should have went back, because Nike is brilliant at advertising. I went to somebody else. Because what you should have saw at this point, because they didn't give a fuck about you. Here's one of the things. You knew that because how good is their urban division? Do they even got an urban division at Under Armour? Under Armour seems like it's interested in keeping their target audience, which I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, is like the older white man over 45. No, is what you're talking about? You can't be interested in the kids and the way y'all went about advertising, the way y'all went about using Steph Curry, Jordan Spieth. You could not have been interested in getting kids or younger people. Why? Why, Steph, are you still there? Who is your people? I would call Nike and say, did you buy me out of this deal for life I got in? Help a hooker or somebody. Mm-mm. Now, what's it saying out here? NBA Golden State Warriors and two-time most valuable player Steph Curry. It says once the area is dry. Okay, that's not it. And it has an identity crisis. Of course it does, because it doesn't want to give power to the guy that should have it, which is Steph Curry. Nike understood that it had to give some power to Jordan, because the Jordan shoe was going to make Nike a whole nother kingdom. Okay? And it's been king ever since. Under Armour is sitting over there like, well, do we really want to give the keys to the kingdom? I mean, we acting like we gave him a $1 billion contract, but have we really been focused on? No, have we really been focused on making him the face of Under Armour? I don't know who Steph people is. Steph, you should be talking to LeBron people. LeBron people be knowing. You know, they ain't been good at the tennis shoe game, but they do get, they probably get told, man, you should have been out of know. They are smart and get certain things to LeBron. Like, Steph should have been the Space Jam guy. Because Steph is more kiddish, appeals to kids more. If y'all need some help over there in Curry Land, call me, okay, so I can give y'all some. I knew this is the way Under Armour was going. I said this several years ago. I said, stress it out. And I tell y'all stuff. Like, I tried to tell my faith. I tried to tell my faith how the way this thing is going. I'm going to leave that on. In other news, oh goodness! Oh, we get into the Cassie and Diddy. Okay, so I'm gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna get into this Cassie and Diddy thing, and y'all gonna hear my thoughts about what I feel about Cassie and Diddy and this whole situation that we saw this week. Okay, so let's take a little break and let's listen to one of my favorite old school jams. Shout out. I know y'all gonna be like, Carl, why do you so good? Here is Dot Light of Richie. You are. I'll be back in a moment.
I've got so much love, all I want. for the very best in government, politics, celebrity entertainment, music news, tune into the Carlotta Chadwick Show right here on Block Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? I am back on the Carlotta Chadwick Show. It is late night, and I am doing, a show that I wasn't planning on doing. But all this stuff happened, and I said, y'all be asking me my opinion. This is what the show is about. It's about my opinion. Listen, let me just say this to people. My opinion is not always right, and sometimes I evolve from it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm standing on business, and I'm sure I'm going to be standing on business with this one, okay? Trying to figure out how I'm going to best handle what I got to say here. Because y'all so politically correct nowadays, okay? But we saw the Cassie and Diddy situation this week. And let me tell you something. I had told y'all on this show before, if you've listened to my show in the past, I told y'all that I already had heard things had happened with Cassie. Okay? I heard a lot of stories. This was before it was – I had already been hearing stories around – as a matter of fact, the first story I heard was probably around 2015. Okay, so I've already heard that Cassie and Diddy was fucking up Cassie and stuff like that. I already heard that kind of stuff, okay? Now, and I've heard about other people in the industry being just as abusive and stuff. So I'm a little, ain't just a name came out. Okay? And they got a lot of some people that paid off their accusers, and so they can, they can come back and say, well, they can come back and say, we'll sue you and stuff for saying stuff. That's a whole nother story. But listen, here's what I'll say. Diddy and Cassie, I said this on the show before, that I had heard that, and I believed it. I believe Diddy was doing this stuff and everything. But I also don't believe that Cassie, and this is why I titled it Cassie Ventura, Why All Victims Are Not Heroes, Unpopular Opinion, okay? Cassie is very interesting to me because Cassie stayed in a relationship, and a lot of y'all like to say, she was 19. I was 19 too, and I know how I used to think in 19, and I had a lot of crazy relationships, okay? And one time I had somebody try to come at me crazy, okay? And it didn't end nicely, okay? But what I – listen, shit. I tell you, I can't do that. I'm my baby friend. I don't understand. You can't hit me. I mean, if you do, I'm praying for you. Because like I said on this show, it might be I don't like being scared of people, and I understand people in the world can be scared of people and all this stuff. I just don't like, I don't want you to go there. All I'm just saying to y'all is that I already knew about this situation. I already knew the abuse was there, but I did not like how Cassie came for a settlement. She and her husband, allegedly, went to Diddy like a shake dance. And when Diddy said no with his dumb ass, knowing these videotapes was out here and stuff, and him whooping her ass, when Diddy said no, then she decided to write like a deposition book that was, because she could legally write all that stuff she wrote in that whatever deposition or whatever it was. She wrote all that stuff and everything to force him. Hey, this is what it's going to all be. This is what I'm all tell. To give her some coin. Now, I was like, where was all that bravado and shit when you was in the shit getting your ass beat? Oh, you got bravado to come get that bag, but you ain't got bravado to take it to go to the police. And let me just say this. Cassie had a lot more available than most women. Some women I've known in abusive situations that have left with the clothes on their back. And y'all out here, I see a lot of y'all's posts and stuff trying to make it. Pray for Cassie. Cassie send prayers. Cassie this and that. And listen, Cassie, he was a monster. Yes, it was horrible what Diddy was done. Let me just get this out the way first. Diddy is a bitch ass, okay? Diddy is probably a alleged, my personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion, is probably a bisexual man who can't live out in his truth, and he's angry with women. And those rumors have been out there about Diddy forever. Okay, about him being the devil. And I can't excuse somebody talking about they 19. Okay, so what happened when she was 25? I'm getting ready to go. Lord have mercy. And the reason why I get on women more is because I grew up seeing this in my from family members, seeing this from friends, and everything. And one of the things that I've seen constantly, not all the time, is women absolving themselves, because this new age, I say, has made with women absolve themselves of any responsibility when they get in abusive situations. We all know, if you grew up in the hood and stuff like that, we've all seen them. You don't even got to grow up in the hood, okay? If you just grow up around, you've seen abuse from family members or towards family members or something like that, we all know women who go back and forth with their abuser all day long, and you try to help them, and if you try to help them, they turn around and both of them jump you. Constant. Or if you try to help them, you go, but they go and you get the person to stay at your house and help you, and like, oh, girl, run away from him. And then the next day she wakes up and says, I need to go back home. I miss my baby. She got a black eye. And you done put your ass in danger to take care of her ass. And she come, hey, go back home. That's Cassie Day. No, I know y'all don't want to hear it, but this is my belief. This is Cassie Day. Okay? I used to see this constantly. And my thing has been, there are monsters out here, like Diddy, who got problems in their head. Women can hear, this motherfucker is a killer. Girl, he's crazy. Don't get involved with him. Don't do it. He's not like that towards me. He's trying to help me with my career. He's trying to do this. And then there are women who will do anything, including getting their ass kicked to be with somebody. And the reason why y'all saying, Carlotta, why are you getting on the person that's been abused? Because she stayed there 11 years. And she got to take some responsibility. Then he going to get his. Okay? Maybe he's going to get his because Cassie didn't press charges, so the statute of limitations done ran out on the shoot. So let me. And I hear y'all now, he got power. He could have played off the police. Well, you could have went to see if he played off the police. You could have made tried to make a report. I grew up, and I'm going to tell y'all a little bit of personal things. I won't tell you who, but I grew up where I watched the family members, different family members, but one in particular who would constantly be in abusive fucking relationships. If they in the club and they done got free from an abuser, trust the abuser radar would pick their ass up. The abuser, she could be a club full of nice guys. And the abuser, and it'd be one abuser in there, and not this family member being there, that fucking abuser would find her ass, okay? I ain't lying. Constantly running from people, constantly getting black eyes, constantly putting other family members in danger, constantly people running trying to help her ass. This is why a lot of Hollywood, I'm coming to it. Let me just say this. Y'all think if I knew about what was going on with Cassie, y'all don't think Jay-Z, Beyonce, and all them people and all that stuff knew about that? All them big people up there when they taking them pictures with Diddy at them Diddy parties, y'all don't think they knew about that? And at first I was like, damn, y'all celebrities ain't shit for sitting and hanging around him knowing he was doing that. But then I realized something, okay? Still shouldn't have been hanging around her because you knew he was kicking her. They was toxic and they was just some toxic shit. But what I realized about people is sometimes people know couples better than see that what y'all seen in that videotape. And let me read about this videotape before I go on, okay? So y'all can get some context of the situation. see here. Okay, let's see. See if we can get it up. Okay. Says, Diddy Tate puts renewed focus on the women in his life. The subversive video of Sean Diddy Combs physically assaulting his then-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, comes days after he paid tribute on social media to some of the women in his life, including the mothers of his 7 children and his own mother, Janice Combs. Interest in the footage obtained exclusively by CNN has stoked conversation about not only his past with Ventura, but whom he dated from 2007 to 2018. A lot of people are asking about Kim Porter, all kinds of stuff, okay? And I even heard stories about that she was being abused too, okay? I can tell y'all some stories I've heard, but I'm not. That ain't even about Kim or Kim. And Tasha K, shout out to Tasha K, because Tasha K was one of the first people that put one of the girls on that was talking about the abuse. I forget that young lady's name, but then I think she was 2 weeks later. Now, see, this is what I'm talking to tell y'all about. 2 weeks later, that same Asian girl, I think, if I'm wrong, forgive me on this, but 2 weeks later after that, the same Asian girl was on Tasha K talking about how he was kicking her ass, was then fighting the young Miami over his ass. Wasn't that the one? I think it was the same Asian girl. Fighting me. See what I'm talking about? This is why I'm getting here, okay? I'm getting to this, okay? So, listen, and that story's going far back in the day about Diddy, okay? But let me just say this. I know those rumors was out there in Hollywood, and I know Cassie heard them too. My belief is she, her little ass heard them, but her little ass wanted to be a star. And y'all find it hard to believe that people who are abused, not all people who are abused are nice people. Not that they deserve abuse, but sometimes a lot of people who are abused, they got a lot of issues. Like, they'll do anything for acceptance, for fame, for anything, and they'll be part of their victimization. Cassie is a victim, but she is not a hero. And y'all putting pictures up of her new husband and her and her 2 kids. You don't know what that – first of all, let me just say this part right here. You don't know who that new husband is either, because she met him right after she went in a relationship with Diddy. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But he had been saying a lot of mess about Diddy a couple of months, years before, little things, smart things on the Internet. And then they come for his bag. Most men – would be so pissed, they wouldn't want that money. They'd be like, nah, hell nah. You don't ask him for shit. You know what I'm saying? But it was weird then. Okay? So I'm just, we'll talk about it. Y'all like, why y'all, what you beating up the victim for? Let me tell you, it's not that I'm beating. Victim, sometimes in abusive relationships, a lot of abusive relationships will end up where they get other people hurt. I just saw on the ID channel the other day, a woman who never, with a fool, okay? Family kind of warned her, but her family was religious and spiritual, and they was just trying to help her through. They end up talking her into marrying the guy and everything. She marries the guy. He becomes crazy and abusive, and then a lot of things she's kind of having on and off with this guy. Then finally, when she's had enough, she runs to her family's house to run from him. But still ain't taking his crazy ass seriously. And neither is her family. And in the end, her going back and forth, I know she, to this day, I'm glad that God, she got God in her life and everything, but she got her family killed. A lot of these women will stay in these abusive relationships because they getting paid off. And so sometimes you get, not because they scared. And Cassie is one of those people who I don't believe. I believe she was a little scared. I believe she was scared. But listen, Cassie, you know what they said in allegedly? Cassie even put in there about Kid Cudi, that she was a lesbian, you have something was going on with Kid Cudi, and Diddy ended up blowing up his car, and that made her a little bit afraid. So, but you, and then later on, I've heard some other stuff, but then later on, you allegedly messed with this trainer. Now, if you were scared of his ass, you left quick with the trainer. So my problem, my issue is, why did you not leave? You was on red carpet. You was on yacht. Cameras was all up in your motherfucking face. Like they was, yes, like he was beating your ass through that hallway. All up in your face. All every time you see a camera. I would have been at the red carpet and said, help, if he was holding me prisoner. He didn't hold her prisoner like for all the years. And Diddy's network ain't so big. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I knew a girl once that was getting abused by a police officer back in my day, years ago, a friend of mine. Now, she was scared. And she talked to me about it, and I said, well, you need to move out of the county. And she's like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know, you know, what I want to do. And then I kept, you know, she would come to me back and forth and say, I really, really, he's doing this, and he's got his police friends harassing me. I said, just move out of this county. Try to move over, which is farther away, a next county, and then make a report there. At least put some reports on the book so that they can say, this, you know, you can tell that this Negro is messing with you. At least it's somewhere reported, okay? She didn't do nothing. But then I had to realize when we talked to her one time, the last time, what it was, and she was still fucking around with him. She still really didn't want to get out the relationship. She still liked fucking around with him. So what she liked doing is have me come over there and trying to talk her up, right? And then she'd go back and tell him, look, you know, Keisha said, this is why the celebrities didn't get involved with Cassie, because they knew that for 10 years, she'd been going back and forth and back and forth with his toxic ass, which was making her toxic too. So when Cassie comes out and tells all these stories of horrific things that Diddy did to her, and I believe them, but how much participation did you have, Cassie? Just because you were a victim doesn't mean you weren't victimizing other people. Or you didn't participate in some of his crazy stuff. Or you weren't recruiting. Or he was with him for 11 years, allegedly. 10 to 11 years. That's a long time. And for y'all talking about she was young, no, she turned 24. She turned 25. She still was staying there, getting her ass kicked. But she was in a 10-album contract. Well, that's dumb as fuck. Okay, then you get it. Then don't make no albums and get your ass leave. And say, hey, I may owe the record company, but it'd be better than this black fucking eye. It'd be better than somebody kicking me in my head. It'd be better than some fool chasing me down the hallway in his bathrobe. So I'm getting on the women today because I understand this. I've seen it so many times. Not all women who are abused. There are some women who are abused who be in horrific situations, and they really do be held prisoners in their house. They really do be held prisoners. I mean, like he was married to some mafia boss or somebody in the cartel or something like that. But Diddy was not a part of no cartel, and Diddy had plenty. There's plenty of television around, TVs around, and plenty of things she could have went to go get some help. So what I'm saying to you guys is don't make her a hero. The only reason you heard Cassie's story is because she allegedly was trying to shake down Diddy. And when Diddy didn't buy into it, then she went and did the deposition thing, which happened to be because the feds now want something. See, she now's going to turn a star witness probably to the feds. I remember I heard some guy say one time on his network, I forget this guy's name, he was talking about the same thing I'm talking about with Cassie. And he was talking about this 5 or 6 months ago. And he said, Cassie reminds me of that gang member that tells on everybody else but forget to tell their story. They part of the story. They part is out. They made me do it. But they don't tell the part that some of that shit they enjoyed. and that she maybe she did a lot for fame and fortune. And that's what I want women to start doing, because that's how you help other women. When you accept responsibility, meaning, no, it's not your fault that somebody's kicking your ass. No, nobody, no abuse is your fault. But it does become somewhat of a problem. And it seems like you like it when you continuously stay in something. And it seems like you okay what that person does to you. When you on something that, to me, Cassie should be a show like For My Man. There are plenty of girls on that show, For My Man, that comes on BET that get abused all the time. And they dudes be like, yeah, you know, that the dudes be like abusing them and they've been abusive to them. And they say, well, you're going to go rob this bank for me. And when you go rob this bank, I want you to kill the teller. And women will go in there and do what that abuser tell them to do. And the abuser will take them back home. And they won't call no police, nothing after they ain't killed the teller. And the police is looking for the killer and everything. And then when the police go to arrest them, and they say, I was abused. I was scared of him. They say, why you didn't call the police then? Why you didn't call us up? So we would have known that he was holding you prisoner or he made you do it. And they say, now you going straight to jail for killing somebody. And that fool going to be out here in the streets free. It's plenty of stories like that out here, too, by the way. I didn't even know the story. I even heard a story on the ID channel where this girl was getting abused by her boyfriend. He was pimping her out, everything. He convinced her to go rob some dudes in a at a bridal party. It's not a bridal party, a bachelor party. And she ended up, dudes ended up dead. She ended up killing a couple of them, or two or three of them. And she was severely abused. Okay? But her ass was so in love with that abuser, so in love with getting her ass kicked, so in love with all kind of stuff, that she went in there and took some people out and everything. And in the end, he didn't go to jail, but she went to jail because she let him convince her into doing crazy stuff. The truth of the matter is, every day women leave abusive situations. Women leave and put their lives in danger. They say, hey, it's not worth it. It's not worth me. It's not worth it for my kids. It's not worth it for me. He going to eventually kill me, or he going to kill me leaving, but I'm going. And they are brave, and they get out of situations, and they don't stay because of lifestyle and checks and yachts. And hanging out with Jay-Z and Beyonce and trying to get their career off and power dynamics and all of that, they do the right thing. Those are heroes. Now, Cassie would have been a hero to me if she would have said, I don't want that blood money right now. I don't want it right now. What I want is him in jail. Okay? I want him in jail. Part of the reason Diddy, and yes, I heard the story. I know what y'all getting ready to say. Well, Diddy, Cassie did warn the other girl, the Asian girl on Tasha K. Tasha K had the Asian girl out there, and the Asian girl said Cassie told her to kind of stay away from Diddy, but she didn't kind of say what context was that in. Was she saying stay away from Diddy because they were still fucking around? Nobody's going to be. No girl who's still messing around with the other girls, they think you trying to get rid of competition. So I don't know why Cassie told that girl that. But Cassie could have helped a lot of women had she went and pressed charges. So I am not considered Cassie no hero. And as far as her husband, Alex Fine, is concerned, he stood up here for years saying little smart digs that Diddy on the internet, little smart shit and all that stuff at his ass and everything. And then got turned around and went to get a bag years after she had left his boy, 5-6 years after y'all come for a bag. That tells me a lot of what I need to know. Because most men, if a man has beat your ass, most men be like, you don't need shit from him. You ain't taking shit. Most real men, they don't say, you ain't taking shit from him. We want him in jail. I'm going to whoop his ass or whatever. You know, they ain't gonna want nothing to do with his money. And they ain't going to want his money beaten. Because you've been through enough abuse. and had Cassie just came out and told her story, probably a lot of people would have been like, oh, dang, man, that's messed up, and not took no money or donated all her money to some sort of abuse situation or whatever. People might have felt different. But Cassie is not a hero. Cassie was just coming after her bag that she didn't get when she was with Diddy. Diddy didn't probably marry her. Diddy had her sleeping with hookers, doing all this crazy shit. It didn't help her career. It didn't help her in the long run and whatever her goal was. And she was pissed. She's probably pissed off. And I would be pissed off, too, if I was getting my ass handed to me years for years and I got nothing from it but ass whooping. But whose fucking fault besides Diddy is else is that? Yours. Because you decided that you was going to take that shit. And Diddy, I know all y'all saying, Diddy was so powerful. Child, please, you can always call, go and make a police report. Matter of fact, Cassie had access to, she could go down to NBC. She could have went to CBS. She could have been, when she was on the red carpet for it, if she was so beat up and so messed up when she was on the red carpet, hello, yes, this man told me how, says I need help. I see what I see. Jay-Z and Beyonce, can y'all tell me? Y'all got to please me how to get out of here. We at this party. I know we kicking it right now. Laura London, you my friend. Can you call the police when you get up out of here? And y'all said, well, she tried to leave on that video. That was one time. But did she circle her ass back and go to him after him kicking her in her head and shit? Yes, it took her another 3 fucking years. I'm like, Carlotta, wait a minute. You getting on? Yes, I'm getting on women because I don't want to see women putting themselves through horrific treatment and then not taking just to get what they think a bag or he thinks he's powerful and all this stuff. No, at some point you have to take responsibility. You have to say, damn, I shouldn't have been in that relationship. Damn, I was doing a lot of messed up shit because I was trying to get a bag and I ended up meeting the devil. And I still continued to fuck around with the devil, even though I knew he was the devil. But I thought the devil was going to give me something, and he didn't give it to me. And that's my lesson. But it says, I didn't know. He introduced me to drugs. He tied me with this and that. He said, I said, what the fuck did you do? Did you take him? You could have got your ass up and said, I'm not going to take none of this. Right? And then if he made you say, you could have went next day to police. Excuse me. She was big enough to, like, what I'm saying, y'all, is this was a girl who was allegedly going in and out of different relationships with certain rappers, pissing Diddy off. Not that Diddy was, he's an abuser, and you triggering him all over the place because he's crazy, and you know he's crazy. See, and I've seen those type of dynamics before with women, too. And that's why this is not a thing to get on women, but I'm just saying it's to get on us to take responsibility sometimes. Because I've seen this with women in my own family where they'll play these games. They'll play games. They'll be like, they know. I say, that's so crazy. Don't fuck with that. Don't fuck. I'm going to let him know. He can't treat me like that. I'm going to let him know. I'm going to be out here. I'm getting ready to get me another man. I'm like, yeah, well, you get him to another man. Don't put him on social media right now because you know he will beat your ass. Okay? Just so you don't want him to even find you. You're trying to be out of this. And they will be out here. They will be provoking a fool. No, I'm not making it the women's fault. I'm not. I'm just telling y'all what it is. Some of these women are not heroes. Some of them are just be in relationships with abusers. And they be drawing the abuse out. They love the ass whoopings, and they don't act like they do, but they do. They like being the perpetual victim. And then they will put you in the cycle of the victim as their family member or their loved one. You'll start being constantly in the middle of these battles with people. with them and their crazy boyfriend. You come in to save them, like, oh, he choked me, he tried to kill me, and all of a sudden you're like, well, girl, you better get your ass wet. You come in, you driving to get them away from him, and then the next week they take their ass right back. Okay? Y'all act like y'all don't know nobody like that right today. Y'all ain't seen these abuse cycles with women. There's some women who do get the lesson and say, I'm getting out of here. And they take responsibility for their part. They say, hey, I got into it. I didn't pay attention to him. I didn't know he was a nut. I wasn't focused. I saw some red signs. Some red flags. I saw some situations, and I ignored them. But I ain't going to ignore them no more. Let me get my little self out of here, okay? But then there are women like Cassie who play on the public about, I was young. And he was more powerful than me. He was this and that. He made me do this. He made me do. And they very well could have been. They're very well. We see that Cassie was abused, right? See that she stayed for so long that she does not make me believe she's an innocent party. And that video, to me, just shows one segment of this type of relationship. But there, while you women and people are putting out these pictures and stuff, talking about, look at her family and stuff like that, I'm telling y'all, I've seen this stuff so much time and time again. Most women like that, if they've been severely abused and severely fucked up, okay, they don't get out of relationships. Like, she jumped out that relationship, went to Alex. He might not be that. I don't know him. I'm not saying he is. I don't know what he personally is or not. But if she got a pattern with abuse, he might not be that great either. Y'all just don't know. I'm not saying he is. He might be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he might not be. Well, to me, going to take that man's bag, taking money from the person who abused your wife is crazy to me, mad crazy. I'd be like, I don't want your shit. You know, even if I'm struggling, you kiss my ass. We want you in jail. Then we'll take your money, right? But that wasn't the case. That has not been the case for me. So I feel like women like that still go into abuse situations because sometimes, and even I was listening to my astrologer today talking about her and her placement, especially in Virgo and stuff like that and Capricorn. I have Virgo girlfriends. I'm a Virgo moon. But my Virgo sun people, y'all can be so helpful that y'all get abused. I mean, they can be so helpful. You know what I'm saying? They see an abusive situation or abusive things like this, and that could be Cassie a little bit. Staying in stuff, going back and forth, making herself look like she's always the victim, but liking being the victim. And so what I'm trying to say to y'all today is before you make somebody like that a hero and start putting her up on screenshots and saying, pray for Kat. Yes, pray for her, but pray that she's healed. Pray that she ain't got no more abusive situations in her life. Pray that she's taking responsibility for her part, not leaning up, giving it all up to Diddy. Not letting Diddy take full responsibility for everything. You were a part of that 10-year toxic fucking cycle. And I want all women to know that. When you're in an abusive situation, you have to take responsibility. No, it's not your fault that someone's hitting on you. But it is your fault if you ignore the red flags and you stay with the fucker for different things. And then you come out here and try to act like he did everything and you didn't do shit. And that's what I'm just trying to say. For years, I've seen this happening in my own life. I've looked at it up close in my own life, in my own family life. And I've seen the dynamics of abusers. Now, some people I said get out after a couple of years or something like that. Some women take responsibility, saying, I should have never exposed myself to that. I should have never exposed my kids to that. I should have. I knew he was messed up, but I just wanted. I liked his sex, so the shit was good. I have friends who say that. who tell the truth. I have people who say, girl, that money was good. Shit, he was easy. I had a one girlfriend that was going with a drug dealer. He used to kick her ass, okay, back when we was young. He used to kick her ass, and you couldn't get her dumb ass away from him, okay? She'd be like, fuck you, cussing you out, everything, you try to get away from her. He'd be blocking her eye one week, buzzing her, but she always be down in Louis. She have on, she was ghetto fabulous all the time, Gucci and everything, back in the early 90s, right? But she realized that the only reason she was staying with him is because she came out of poverty. And she didn't think that she could get those things from, there were other, from her, for herself, or from other, there are other men out here who don't put you, not putting you through no beat downs or stuff like that. She thought this was her only way. So she was staying with this dude and playing games with his ass and making him mad and doing all kind of crazy stuff she would do because she felt like she needed that to get to wear her Louis, to wear her Gucci, to be in the in crowd. I'm like, get your eye black. And I remember one day, the same nigga, I'm telling y'all, see, the first time, and she had been messing with him since high school. My last year of high school, she was one of the people I knew really good, and he'd be fucking her up. Okay? Pretty girl. Okay? So, you know, and the one thing I learned when I was young, because I would tell, you know, if you tell your friends you should stay out of it, stuff like, they go back and tell these abusers what you don't see and stuff like that. Right? So, because some of them that messed up, okay? And they would fight you over these abusers, right? She would cuss you out for telling her to get away from him after she would come to school with black eyes and mouth busted and all that stuff. All right. So one day I'm coming home from school. I'm walking down the street. I can see myself walking down the street right now. He's driving in a car. He got his nice car and everything. He's like, hey. I'm like, oh, Lord, hear this fool. Is he going to argue me about such and such? He like, girl, I always think, you know how beautiful I think you are. We can get. I said, do you not realize that I'm close friends with her? You know I'm going to tell her. Damn, what the answers up with that? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and all this stuff, just getting hot. Got out the car, I said, Negro, I wish you would. You know who you don't want to go with. He got his ass back in the car because he realized. You didn't want to go there. I may look like I'm a square. I may look, but I got some gangsters behind me, okay? On my family, too. I had a pop-up back in the day that was crazy as hell, dead even crazy. So listen here, I got family members. Now, you wasn't about to pop out. I gladly tell people about you, okay? And he got his ass back up in that car. I ain't got time for you. I ain't got this and that. I said, yeah, I ain't hurt. You can't come out here hitting me because I'm not flirting back with you. I was right down the street. And I think about it. I was like, God, man, how God bless him because he could have did anything, right? You know, but I remember going back the next day and trying to say something to him. Like, girl, he tried to come at me. Girl, shit, don't worry about that. He's just doing shit. He's just trying to make me mad. He know you're going to come back and tell me. I'm just telling y'all these type of relationships, okay? So I'm just saying, especially when they're long-term relationships, they're long-term where they've been in them more than 3 years, okay? Cassie was probably into some shit too. Cassie was probably not completely innocent. Cassie was up there dancing and made a deal with the devil. And now I think she needs to take some responsibility for it. It'd be great if she tells her story and also tells where she needs to take some responsibility. But I am not buying people out here making her the hero or some sort of Saint Cassie because she never once went to a police. She never once filed a fucking police report. She was with that Negro for 10, 11 years, and I was hearing stories about him kicking her ass. She never once filed one police report. So at first I thought, you know, you celebrities should be ashamed of yourself. But now I don't think so, because I understood what the celebrities was probably seeing. They probably were seeing, like, she going to be right back with him tomorrow. Ain't no sense in me calling the police when she going to have her ass. Ain't no sense in me, her coming out here saying I lied and Diddy trying to sue me and come after my ass and I'll be in danger because she ain't going to make no move. Look at what happened to Kid Cudi trying to help her ass. And she went right on back. And she going to say, because I was scared. Have you been, girl, please. I don't buy that. Sometimes you just like toxicity. Sometimes it ain't fear that's feeding these relationships. Sometimes if I like the toxic shit. It's hard to believe that some people like getting their ass beat. That's why they're saying, not all people, not all abused people, but some do. I've met them. And if you try to get them out of an abusive relationship, they will turn around and whoop you with him and whoop your ass, okay? They will both turn around and get on you. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. So I know, and it's also another thing I noticed, too, with this whole Cassie thing, is how differently we have treated Diddy. Y'all say Diddy ain't no comeback. Well, Chris Brown is back out here. Let me remind y'all. And by the way, Diddy, wasn't Diddy helping Chris Brown for a little bit? See, this will change about first thing. Anyway. Chris Brown police report provides details of altercation. Search warrant details how Rihanna received her alleged injuries on the night of February 8th. Now, it's been amazing to me to watch black males come onto Diddy's side. She's Filipino. She's not black. She just has a black aesthetic where she makes herself look black, but I think she's Filipino. Says court documents released Thursday revealed details about the case against Chris Brown, including the police statement that the incident began when Rihanna. Okay, This is from MTV.com. Okay, it's an old article. When Rihanna found a text message on Brown's cell phone from a woman who Brown had his previous sexual relationship with. Chris Brown, like, what I got to do with it? Brown was driving a vehicle with Robin F. as a front passenger on an unknown street in Los Angeles. Robin F. picked Brown's cellular phone and observed three-page text message from a woman who Brown had previous sexual relationship. A verbal argument ensued, and Brown pulled the vehicle over on an unknown street, reached over Robin F. with his right hand, opened the car door, and attempted to force her out. Brown was unable to force Robin F. out of the vehicle because she was wearing a seatbelt. When he could not force her to exit, he took his right hand and shoved her head against the passenger window of the vehicle, causing an approximate one-inch raised circular contusion. Robin F. turned to face Brown, and he punched her in the left eye with his right hand. He then drove away in the vehicle and continued to punch her in the face with his right hand while steering the vehicle with his left. The assault caused Robin F.'s mouth to fill with blood and blood to splatter all over her clothing and interior in the vehicle. You can look up the pictures, I believe, online. Her face was fucked up. Okay. Brown looked at Robin F. and stated, I'm going to beat the shit out of you when we get home. See, you wait and see. So a man who talks like that, he ain't get that. That wasn't the only time. This is my personal opinion. That wasn't just Keisha Carlotta's personal opinion. This wasn't the only time that happened. The detective said Robin then used her cell phone to call her personal assistant, Jennifer Rosales, who did not answer. Robin F. pretended to talk to her and say that I'm on my way home. Make sure the police are there when I get there. After Robin F. faked the call, Rihanna was in one of those abusive relationships because she kept going back and forth with him for a minute. Okay, cause that's because she saw abuse most of her life. After Robin F. faked, she thought that's probably normal. Fake the call, Brown looked at her and said, you just did the stupidest thing ever. Now I'm really going to kill you. It's the police report. I'm reading the fucking police report from MTV News. Okay? Since y'all saying Diddy can't make no comeback. Let's have a talk about it. How y'all so differently treat black women out here with a story. Brown continue to press Robin F. on her left arm and hand, causing her to suffer a contusion on her left tricep. And that was approximately 2 inches in diameter and numerous contusions on her left hand. Robert F. then attempted to send a text message to her personal assistant, Melissa Ford. Brown snatched the cellular telephone out of her hand, threw it out the window onto an unknown street. Brown continued driving, and Robin F. observed his cellular telephone sitting in his lap. She picked up the cellular telephone with her left hand before she could make a call. He placed her in a headlock with his right hand and continued to drive the vehicle with his left. Brown pulled Robin F. close to him and bit her on her left ear. She was able to feel the vehicle swerving from right to left as Brown sped away. He stopped the vehicle in front of 333 North June Street. Robin F. turns off the car, moved the key from the ignition, and set on it. Brown did not know what she did with the key and began punching her in the face, placed her in a headlock, positioned her in the front of her throat between his bicep and forearm. Brown began applying pressure to Robin F.'s left right carotid artery, causing her to be unable to breathe, and she began to lose consciousness. She reached up with her left hand and began to attempt to gouge his eyes within an attempt to free herself. Brown bit her left ring and middle fingers and then released her. While Brown continued to punch her, she turned around and placed her back against the passenger door. She brought her knees to her chest, placed her feet against Brown's body, and began pushing him away. Brown continued to punch her on the legs and feet, causing several contusions. Robert began screaming for help, and Brown exited the vehicle and walked away. A resident in the neighborhood heard Robin F. flee for help and called 911. There was a witness that heard the woman scream. But what do all y'all say? Even comedians and stuff. Even though, you know, jokes are jokes. But what y'all say? Yeah, that's a Caribbean girl. You know, she was fighting him. She probably hit him in the head with a boot. Oh, she probably kicked his head. She probably did this. Well, I remember her interview. She said, I did nothing to him. And I remember Chris Brown's interview where he said he blacked out. And then Chris Brown continued to be problematic. I mean, didn't Karrueche Tran have a restraining order on him, allegedly, or something like that? And then we heard about him throwing a brick, something through Good Morning America's window. Listen here, he ain't canceled. Y'all still showing up at the concert dancing. Y'all still talking about he the next Michael Jackson. Still telling us he was young, forgive him. Oh, like Cassie was young? Like monsters can't be young. He allegedly even beat up a singer this year, allegedly. I ain't going to say no name. Y'all know who it is. We talked about the story on here, okay? Allegedly. But the singer didn't want no smoke and then proud no punch. Okay? I'm just saying, he ain't been canceled yet. Oh, y'all say, but come out of a seat. Diddy got video. What did Rihanna have to have? Rihanna had her whole fucking face. And a witness who heard her screaming for help. He almost killed her ass. But yet y'all still out here. We all still out here. Summer too hot. Gotta fuck it up. When the moon's hot. Okay, who else? Dr. Dre's wild ass. Okay, since we talking about people can't come back. Dr. Dre. First, Michelle A got a whole movie about how Dr. Dre used to beat her ass. And allegedly, the person who saved her out of them ass whoopings was Suge Knight. What? Allegedly. Yeah, we're not going to talk about D-Born, okay? In wake of the video, D-Borns reminds people Dr. Dre abused her. D-Borns doesn't want you to forget the dark past of heavily celebrated black male producer. On May 17, CNN acquired exclusive footage from hotel surveillance cameras of Diddy. chasing his ex-girlfriend Cassie down the hall while only at wearing a towel. Once Diddy caught up to Cassie, who was waiting for an elevator, Diddy began kicking and hitting her before he dragged her back to the room. Since the incident occurred in 2016, he can't be charged for it. Okay, let me say this. Let me stop this right here. And while I am saying this about black women and how black women are not believed, and Cassie suddenly believed, you know, because she got some video, and if it was a black woman on there, y'all be questioning and everything like that. I'm not against people questioning what they see, meaning that you don't know what happened there. We don't know. Yes, he was definitely wrong. He was definitely an abuser. But when you go to a court, the question is, why were you doing that? What happened? What's the situation? You have to know all of that. Doesn't mean he had the right to do that. No. But you like to hear what the situation was. Like, was the situation, he chased her down the highway. Did she just hit his daughter in the mouth? I'm not saying that's what happened. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying we don't know what the responses was on these videos and stuff like that. That's what I'm just saying. So to me, yes, you have to always question people and everything when you're bringing an accusation against them, because the burden of proof is always on you. That's just the law, okay? But it says on May 17th, it says if the conduct depicted occurred in 2016, unfortunately, we would be able to charge as the conduct would have occurred beyond the timeline where the crime sought to be prosecuted. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office posted in May 17th statement on Instagram. As of today, law enforcement has not presented the case related to the attack depicted in the video against Mr. Combs, but we encourage anyone who has been a victim or witness to the crime to report it to law enforcement or reach out to our office for support from our Bureau of Victim Services. Okay, so allegedly people believe that this is one of the tapes that Diddy's tape was collected during the federal raid. This is allegedly, and that the feds leaked it because so people can start up trials like this. People can say, any victims out there, if you got hit by Diddy in 2019, come on, help, because we can get this RICO win. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a big case against him. Okay, so that's what's happening to him right now. So that case, that thing was leaked, and he was dumb. I don't know why he kept that video in his house, if that's so, okay? But it says, as the video went viral, Barnes announced she was logging out of social media for the day. Seeing that video is extremely triggering, Barnes posted on X, formerly known as Twitter. Dr. Dre punched, slammed, and kicked and thumped me out. Concussion. He beat her, allegedly, He beat her because he got mad at her hosting his enemies. I forget the situation on a rap show she used to have years ago. He grabbed me by my hair. He started slamming me against the wall. Born said it was painful and dramatic experience. And then we asked celebrity into the fact it's a constant reminder. In my special situation, there's actually references in some. Yes, and also about D. Born, I heard it was way worse than what she even said. Okay. Then there's not only D. Barnes that has talked about Dr. Dre. Okay. There is Michelle A. Michelle A opens up about her abusive relationship with Dr. Dre. Michelle A wants to clear up any misconceptions on rumors about her past relationships with the next work debut of her biopic, Surviving Compton. Dr. Dre should Compton, Dre, Suge, and Michelle A. The Lifetime original film starring Ryan, Nicole Brown, Curtis Hamilton, Jamie Kennedy. We talked about that. Okay. It talked about the singer's humble beginnings during NWA's New York rise to the music industry to her past abusive romance with Dr. Dre. The relationship prompted a downward spiral into substance abuse for the chart-topping singer known for her late 80s hits, No More Lies, and Something in My Heart. And then she's the person that I would say they probably both participated. They was one of them hood couples. They was both participating in toxic behavior, but he still didn't have the right to be beating her down like he was. Before her later turbulent relationship with Dre's then-business partner and Death Row Records co-founder Marion Suge Knight. She told the Huffington Post that the omission of her involvement in the lives of Dre and company NWA's biopic Straight Outta Compton opened the door for her to tell her story as a former artist on EZE's Ruthless Records. She said, when you're living in it, you can't see it. But I couldn't believe that I was really living like that, she said during an interview with the Huffington Post. And it really resonated with me. Never did I wake up and ask, Dr. Dre, why did you hit me? During a scene in the film, She added, there were periods where she was both terrified and grateful that Dre loved her during the six-year relationship. She added to Puff that she hasn't talked to the music mogul in centuries and hasn't talked to Suge, who is currently incarcerated, okay? But maintains both me and love their kids and my kids' father, okay? But she describes horrific situations with Dr. Dre, and if you've seen those movies, okay? Not only did Dr. Dre and she, his recent wife was talking about he's abusive kids, okay, who just got a divorce. See if I can put it. Okay. Dr. Dre's wife, Nicole Young, alleges abuse. This is from People Magazine. Held a gun to my head twice, alleges years of abuse. Now, you know the other rumor on Dr. Dre, right? That is like Diddy, allegedly. People think that there's been rumors for years. Rumors, no proof, that Dr. Dre's bot, okay, allegedly. But if this is this, when a man's kicking women's asses, that makes me believe that, because they be having some kind of hate for women. His wife, People Magazine, Andre has verbally and emotionally decimated my personhood to an extent that I currently suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome, she said in a court document. Okay? But yet, Dr. Dre is out here receiving, what is that he gets? Dr. Dre received an inaugural Global Impact Award at 2023 Grammy. Okay? I think they even named the award after the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. Okay? So what the hell y'all talking about Diddy can't come back? Oh, yes, he can. There's a lot of abusers out there thriving. What is y'all talking about? Y'all don't want to believe black women. Oh, but Cassie, oh, black men, I apologize. Diddy, you need your ass kicked. Where was Chris Brown? You need your ass kicked. Where was Dr. Dre? You should have your ass kicked. Only person said that's been Suge Knight. Dr. Dre, you should have your ass kicked for beating up these women. None of y'all. It's terrible how it's so different for black women coming from black males. Oh, y'all quick to defend Cassie now. But y'all didn't want to just defend these other black women. As a matter of fact, y'all made it hard for Rihanna. Made it hard for women like women like Michelle A to come out with their stories and stuff. Y'all was telling stories that, well, you know, Michelle A, you might have been kicking her ass, but, you know, allegedly she was cheating on him. Y'all trying to make anything to say that she deserved that shit. Now, she might have stayed and played some toxic games, like I said. Cassie was playing toxic games and doing stuff for the money and doing stuff. Well, Michelle A had her own stuff, and she had been with Dre before, you know, the things or something like that. But she had her payoff too. But she's recognizing her personal responsibility in it. That's why she did a movie. She completely recognized her personal responsibility in it, okay? And then this girl was, you know, she had a thing. She was one with Ryan Leslie before the Cassie and stuff like that. But, okay, now they say Cassie's mother, I've heard different things. Her mother's African-American, Mexican, and West Indian descent. And her father is Filipino. Okay, Cassie is not black. Okay, Cassie got maybe a third black in her or something in her. Okay, she's biracial. But y'all see how differently y'all treat her story compared to plenty of black women, including Kim Porter and all these other people out here that have had stories of abuse. So I don't really care to hear any more about Cassie being a hero, because Cassie's not a hero. She went for her bag. She got paid handsomely. And I told you, men, about y'all, these NDA agreements, and y'all been hitting women and beating up on women and stuff like that. These NDA agreements are not going to save y'all ass, okay? And because I know that you got some people, all women, just because you've been abused doesn't mean. I heard a person online say this on YouTube. He said, just because you've been abused doesn't mean you're virtuous. I know plenty of abused women like, who would go and do some wild stuff, like do bad things, manipulate people, all kind of stuff. And I'm just saying, Cassie being there that number of years, 11 years, is very telling. 10 years, very telling. Leaving, having relationships, allegedly, they were saying, with various men, different men or something during a relationship or whatever, or causing him jealous rage and stuff like that. And then leaving with a trainer that he paid for doesn't tell me that Cassie was really scared of power dynamics. I don't believe that was happening. I think what was going on, this is just my personal opinion, and I could be wrong, but my personal opinion looking at it is that this was a girl who didn't want to give up the lifestyle. And I hope she takes responsibility for it. And she came back to get the bag to live, so she could live that lifestyle again, because she wasn't living it with her husband. Okay, so she came back to get Diddy's lifestyle. She wanted Diddy's lifestyle this time without the ass whooping. She figured, I stayed all these years for these ass whoopings. You don't give me some money for this. Okay, and I didn't once call the police and everything. So my personal opinion, for me, women like Cassie are not valuable witnesses because they've taken money, because they didn't advocate for other women. She and some other woman he could possibly kill one day. She only came back for her bag. And y'all saying, well, she wrote that deposition so that people could see. No, she only wrote that when he refused to give the money. Then when he saw how fat he was greedy, she was really going to put that stuff out there. Then he went ahead and settled, and she gladly took. And the reason why she's speaking to her husband and her lawyer is because she can't talk. That settlement probably took her voice, and the only ones that's going to be able to give it back to her is probably the fans. But fans, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think she's that great a witness, and I wouldn't be surprised if she was participating in some crimes. If you that fucked up, listen, I've done known girls, women who, I done seen it in my day, women who abuse. I saw one night on a show, and I've seen this in life, a girl who was getting abused by her boyfriend, and her best friend, he let her talk her in. This is on my fourth, my man. He wanted her best friend. He got out of jail, and he talked this girl into kidnapping her best friend, raping her and everything. Now, she was severely abused in this relationship. He went for it, got her friend. Her friend almost didn't survive. Her friend had to jump out the car on the highway to keep them from killing her. And this was a woman that was abused by her boyfriend. But yet she went, and he didn't make her. He just suggested, you know, who she go. And she said, I was afraid, but she's about to kill her friend. She could have did a lot. She could have ran away. She could have called the police. She put her friend in harm's way. Went and got her friend. Didn't warn her friend. Didn't do nothing. Was alone a couple of times with her friend where she could have warned her. I'm just telling you, everybody who be in an abusive situation ain't virtuous, shouldn't be heroes, chill out. So you hear the whole stories, all these stories and stuff like that. Everybody going to be coming out on Cassie's scene right now because we done seen the video, and they not going to tell the bad stuff Cassie was involved in. So she looks like a victim, and sometimes victims in America see signals, oh, they're virtuous, oh, they're a victim, oh, my God. Just because you a victim don't mean you weren't doing shit. Okay? Especially in these abusive relationships where you guys be going back and forth with these men, knowing they wrong, knowing they crazy, knowing they the devil. Now, that is my show, okay? I am down. I'm going to have another show. I'm going to do, because I got a whole bunch of more hot topics I'm supposed to talk to y'all about. So I'm going to do a show probably, oh, y'all, I don't know. I'll probably try to do one tomorrow night. Late tomorrow night, okay, around the same time. I'll try my best. If not, I'll do one during the week, too, so we can discuss the other hot topics, because we got a whole bunch of more hot topics, y'all, that I didn't get to discuss. I'm going to try to discuss this week so y'all won't. Mary J's boots. We didn't get to talk about Mary J's boots. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something, okay. I thought the boots were too expensive. I thought her fan base is hood women, women who urban women who a lot of times don't have the money. And y'all say all these boots almost sold out. Yeah, they probably didn't make that many in production. Might have been 50, 100, 300. I mean, that's easy probably to sell. She can call a couple of her industry friends to buy some, okay? Shoot. But Mary, read the room. $1,300 boots, when you've made your imaging and everything off of hood chicks and hood girls, you could have made a designer boot that is affordable for women, not cheap. I'm saying maybe around a, like $300 to $600 price range, where women, it could be reachable to the women that you service and have as your customer base. But that's why a lot of y'all brands be failing, because that's even Maxwell with them $400 glasses. I don't know how well them $400 glasses is doing, but listen here, because, you know, you got an R&B artist. Now, the glasses you probably done sold, you probably call a couple of friends. I'm just saying, y'all have some, start reading out here about these, about y'all, y'all audience base. I have to talk about Mary tomorrow. Okay, I got a minute and 30 seconds. We'll talk about Mary on the show tomorrow, okay? All right, so you guys, I hope y'all have a wonderful evening, wonderful rest of y'all evening, wonderful rest of y'all weekend. We're going to leave out of here with Ascension. Oh, did I got Ascension up? I think I do. Okay, Maxwell, I'll see y'all. Bye. Have a good one. Thank you guys for hanging out with me like you do every week and listening to the show, listening to my crazy thoughts, my crazy ideas. Sometimes I go back and listen to the show and I'll be like, let me correct that or let me do that or this or that. So I thank you guys for being like very flexible with me, okay? Remember, you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page. You can also hit me up on Instagram on Carly_Galaxy. Also, in both of those places, you can send me messages if you need to about the show or something you want to see or just to say hi or whatever. That's a great, okay? Also, you can hit me up on and shout out to this young lady. It's a young lady who started listening to me on the Shade, started watching me on the Shade Room. I was on the Shade Room answering something. She started listening to the show. And she tried to send me a Cash App. Girl, you don't got to send me. I started to send, give it to somebody else and tell me, you know, bless somebody with it. But thank you so much. So I was like, thank you, but, you know, I'm going to bless somebody with it right now, you know, whatever. So shout out to you, okay? I appreciate you. But you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page. You can hit me up on Carly_Galaxy on Instagram. That's where you can leave your messages. Then I'm on Twitter at C-Chat with Show and Carlotta 72. And then also on TikTok, Keisha Carlotta, and on Threads, okay? I don't know. You're just going to have to hit the link from Instagram. Okay? You guys, have a wonderful rest of your weekend. I will try to do a show tomorrow night, late tomorrow night, for so that we can, I can discuss the rest of the hot topics I have. It'll probably be a short show, but that way we can get in all the hot topics that I've been seeing today, okay? I'm out. That way y'all have two shows in the can, okay? All right, I'm out. I'll see y'all. I'm going to leave out with Mary Jane Girl all night long. See ya.
Hey, boy.